This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski, he spikes with emphasis.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500, or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome, everybody, to the Xbox One postgame show. I'm Scott Sudikoff, filling in for Mark Bertrand, and with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo, it is time to recap the Patriots 37-22 victory over the Buffalo Bills this afternoon in Orchard Park, New York. Not Old Orchard Beach, Maine, but Orchard Park, New York. 37-22, the Patriots win. And I'll throw it to you guys right off the bat. And
well, I have a quick update.
Okay.
I checked out in the parking lot, and my car has been towed.
Oh, man. Yeah, we need, who was that? The dude from Virginia. The dude from Virginia.
Yeah. We probably can't take him now.
He might probably be passed out by now.
Judging on how he laughed when we asked him how long he's been pregaming. My pick was woefully wrong.
Two weeks in a row.
The Bills are the Bills. Same old Bills.
You have three turnovers for the Bills, some penalties in the wrong spots.
And drive continuing penalties on failed third downs, mm-hmm. turnovers. Two of them in the last 2 minutes of the first half.
I don't know how many times I can say this.
Spells a loss.
I was wrong.
Certainly.
A lot.
Certainly.
Good win for the Patriots.
Really good
win. Go on the road, show some energy, fight through some adversity. We'll get to the injuries. Certainly was not an easy day, and there were opportunities where they could have, I think, sort of gone the wrong way in this game, and they did not. They take over first place alone at the top of the AFC East. They get two wins
issues.
In a row.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you give them credit. Not a lot of beauty points or, you know, there are certain factors that are still an issue, and we'll get to the recap of our keys to the game, which I'm guessing based on the performance will remain the key to the game next week when you tune into the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social. The offensive line remains an issue, but overall, you went on the road, you got the win, you come back in first place, move on.
Because it was an issue today.
Yep.
I mean, not just, I mean, obviously you had the injuries before the game.
We're not there yet.
During the game. I'm talking about the offensive line in general. It was definitely an issue.
About the injuries.
I know.
855 pass.
It's not my first post game.
500. It's not my first either.
Well, you know.
It's my first of the year.
You're kind of a born-again virgin here.
855 Pats 500. Is the Ace Ticket Hotline. If you want to talk about today's game, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We'll be here for a couple of hours recapping what you just saw, the Patriots and the BYU last.
Something Scott just became aware of. Thought he was doing a one-hour post-game show.
Yeah.
Was just told it's a two-hour post-game show. So
my agent only signed a one-hour contract.
This is my first one.
Right. All right, let's do it. Where is it? Go ahead.
It's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, alright? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen. And I can't get up!
On the Patriots postgame show.
So the good, the bad, and the injured.
The good.
What do you want to start
with?
A lot of good.
I'm going to start with.
There's a lot of good.
Darrell Revis. There's a middle school reporter somewhere who was bitch slapped by Bill Belichick this week for asking about matching up Revis against
receivers. Who was going to cover our receivers?
Well, guess what? He matched up against Sammy Watkins and physically and emotionally took the Bills' top young playmaker out of the game. Ran all over the field with him. The Bills basically decided, well, we're not going to throw over there because, ooh, they got Revis on him. And I think you saw a second way that can be valuable. The first way last week, I thought physically Darrell Revis took A.J. Green for the most part out of the game. This week, sort of philosophically, he took Sammy Watkins out of the game for the Bills.
I would agree. That's a big one. I'm going to stick with the superstars. I'm going to go to Tom Brady.
Oh, good. That leaves me one.
Yeah, there's another superstar to come because there's three. And I thought all three of them showed you why they are so good today. But Brady, I thought, more resembled himself in the pocket. The pressure was there today.
Oh, yeah.
This was not like last week where the offensive line did a much better job of protecting him. I thought he did a great job of staying in the pocket, sliding around, all while keeping his eyes downfield. And I thought that led to a lot of big plays in the passing game that weren't all, you know, just easy pitching catches. I thought this was Tom Brady. I thought this was vintage Tom Brady. And by the way, did so without the semblance of a running game all day.
Or the semblance of an offensive line. But we'll get to that in the bat.
He was in a lot of long yarded situations, and they were able to pick up some really important ones. And in the second half, the offense became unstoppable.
And of course,
there's a big reason why the offense was unstoppable, Andy.
Triumvirate. Robert Gronkowski the 17th was back. And we saw it last week.
He better be the one and only.
It was kind of the story last week. I thought the big three were a big part of it last week. Sort of referenced that when we came into the season, the PFW season opening cover was, what was it, Triple Threat? We had those three on the cover. Basically saying, your season's going to go where Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and Darrelle Revis take you. Well, for the last couple of weeks, they're taking them to the victory circle into first place in the AFC East. I thought Gronk physically, he had a touchdown taken away by a holding call on Jordan Devey, who remains the whipping boy of Patriots Nation. But Gronk is back, baby. He's getting down the field. We had a little bit, you know, part of Gronk being back, I guess, is you got to have an injury scare mixed in there when he fell down the field, went down hard. I think tore a part of his brace.
Knee,
and people
elbow,
were assuming.
We don't know.
Yeah, but he came back after that, and I'm just going to say it. He's back, baby.
Yeah, well, this was the first time I saw him get downfield.
Yep.
And that, to me, was another step. You know, 3 weeks ago, it was a play that he sort of turned up against the Raiders, maybe 4 weeks ago now, and he took a guy on the sideline instead of going out of bounds. Everybody thought that was a big sign. Last week, he was a little bit more active, had a touchdown coming streaking across the middle. Today, we saw the vintage Rob Gronkowski seam route on a couple of occasions. One he caught shortly thereafter, he drew a pass interference call. Gronk is now becoming a threat in all areas of the field. It's not just short stuff, and Andy's right. You know, to have those three guys, Revis, Brady, and Gronk playing at a high level, it shows you how good they can be.
And to sort of take the Revis take on it, not just physically, there were a couple plays where you saw two and three guys go with Gronkowski. That opens things up. That's what we always talk about for Edelman or Vereen or whoever
for
sort
Brian
of
Brian Timms
complimentary receivers are. Yes, so Gronk is back in all three phases in terms of physical, blocking, and drawing coverage away from other people, even to the point where he's comfortable having a snack on the sideline chatting with the official. He's Gronk, baby.
Granola bar, we think.
What else we got?
Granola bar, we'll go with it. I bet it's like an energy bar or something.
Yeah.
What is he? He does one of those companies he's like a spokesman for.
What else I thought was really good defensively
today? Who did you think was good?
Was Vince Wilfork.
Vince Wilfork.
I thought he played really well inside.
Really well.
A couple of times just reading screens and reacting to plays. I thought, you know, it's a nose tackle. You know, he's an interior guy, so it's not going to be always the flashiest of things, but flashy of plays. But I thought Wilfork was best game of the year today.
And while we stay on defense, I would say you got certainly some contributions out of Rob Ninkovich with three sacks. Chandler Jones with a sack and a forced fumble, a single beautiful play, I thought, there. You know, they're going to continue to need to be leaned on for the pass rush. There isn't a lot of help beyond those two guys, and I'm not saying it was all them. You know, certainly Ninkovich, they were kind of coverage sacks a little bit. At least one of them was. And as the injuries pile up, those two guys are, you know, even more. You're back to last year a little bit where you're really going to count on those two. Offensively, Brian Timms, certainly on the bomb.
Forgot about Timms. That's a huge play. Listen, go ahead. Let me have it. Brian Timms made a huge impact, giving the offense an element that it's been lacking for a long time. A deep threat. And
if at first you don't succeed,
yeah, he was
covered. Try it again.
He was covered on both of them, yeah. But what an unbelievable catch.
Hey, Randy Moss used to be covered too.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Just an incredible catch, despite great coverage from Gilmore. And that was a huge play in the game too. There was a lot of big plays in this game, but Brian Timms made an impact despite probably not playing more than 10 or 12 plays, if that many.
Speaking of impact, we'll give little updates, I guess, from flashes of other games. Tony Romo dead.
Dead.
Can't even get up off the field, calling for the trainers to come help him up.
And Cincinnati had a field goal in overtime.
To win it!
No. The first overtime.
First possession.
First possession. So now Carolina can come back and match that.
He's going to have his organs readjusted. Holy Moses.
That
no
would have been two
Tony
personal Romo. Fouls in the Patriots game today.
Oh, my God. Bobby Wagner just...
form tackle with the shoulder.
Oh, there's nothing dirty about it.
Might have been a little late.
Might have been a little late, but in Andy's world, it's called awesome.
I would have drawn at least two flags today. That would have been worthy
of one.
All right,
get off yourself.
Oh, the referees were bad in that game.
They were bad.
Another Notre Dame Saturday, Paul.
That's what he thinks.
Oh, all around. Just bad. Just bad officiating. Really bad. I mean, from bringing the chains out to measure a first down that was like a yard and a half short. Bad. Really bad. And was a touchdown right after that?
Something happened. I don't know. Seahawks are celebrating.
I'm in the middle of talking. I see Andy's face light up, and I'm like, what happened?
Blocked punt.
Yeah, we have new TVs in the studio, just to let everybody know. And
they're really nice.
Andy's going to lose focus because now he has one behind me.
And Tony Romo is on his Life Surface support. Tablet on the sideline, WebMD, telling them what hurts. Oh, that's a good blocked punt.
So you want to move on to what
the bad
the game.
The bad. Nate Solder,
rushing offense,
the offensive line.
Too, right?
The bad is mostly injury related, but that offensive line really, really, really hurting.
Good news is we got to see even more of the people who have proven so far through the first month they can't play, right? Jordan Devey got some time. Marcus Cannon got some time. And the offensive line just wasn't very good. I thought Tom Brady got hit at times. Certainly was not a lot of big holes. We didn't see the type of running that we saw last week where Shane Vereen was at the second level before he even got touched. The running game was bad because the offensive line was bad. And the Nate Solder problem continues to just be curious and worrisome. I tweeted out during the game.
Curiouser?
Sure. You know, the guy's scheduled to make $7.5 million next year, more than Tom Brady in terms of salary for next year. And right now he stinks.
That's a lot.
He flat out stinks. Penalties. He had another couple penalties today. Now, Paul gave him the out for the one hold because the guy was offside. Oh no, that was Cannon.
That was Cannon that got called for that hold.
He had a false start. I believe he continues to still lead the team in penalties. He continues to lead the team in sacks allowed. He continues to lead the team in disappointment.
And, We added something to the mix today.
I should be careful, huh? At any point now, we could have that phone
it's
call.
It's been losing one-on-one battles. It's been a lot of losing one-on-one battles. Today, it looked like that was a blown assignment when he got beaten by Hughes. He was blocking down.
Took a step down, and then when he came back out, it was way too late.
It wasn't a blitz. It was just the defensive end coming in. And, the Indy's right.
They were sliding right, but
more and more of a problem.
Nobody was blocking.
I think Vollmer got beat for a sack today, too.
Yep.
Cannon continues to rotate in for both of those two guys.
What is that? Can somebody tell me what that is? Are they both hurt and they can't play a full game? What is it? Why are they playing Marcus Cannon rotationally?
Don't have the answer for you.
The offensive line, you know what they always say? It's good to have continuity and let them gel and mesh and all that. Well, we're just rotating guys. Guys are getting hurt. We're bringing new guys in, new starter every week. And Klein, I'll even include in that. Klein's good enough to start today, but hadn't been good enough to be active for the first 5 weeks. Well, why did he suddenly get back? Why isn't Cannon playing? You thought Cannon was so much better for the first 3 weeks when he was a starting guard. You think he stinks now, so he can't play guard, so Klein's above him on the guard depth chart? I'm just befuddled.
Breaking news for you, Andy. Rex Ryan says Geno Smith will start Thursday night.
Oh, nice.
He's declared his cards.
You know what they say is if you have seven offensive linemen, you don't have five.
They do say that. I never heard it, but
obviously.
Just kidding.
Don't they say that in hockey, you have two goaltenders,
you don't have two quarterbacks, you don't have any.
Two shortstops.
The Patriots continue to play 7 and 8 offensive linemen regularly, and it's clear they don't have five that they like. It's clear.
Well, Bill just says, you need eight active on game day. Bill, it doesn't mean you have to play them.
Now, an injury today, unfortunately, might make that a
little
bit more.
Yes, Dan Conley left with a head injury, did not return. He has a history, a mild history of head injuries. Will be interesting to keep an eye on that because, as we talked about, you're already going to have a different lineup guaranteed because Stork was out this week. So even if he returns next week, it's a different lineup. Now, if Connolly has to miss a week, you're guaranteed another 2 weeks if you're going to have new lineups week to week. It feels like they're not going to have a starting offensive line week to week to week until, Lord only knows, Thanksgiving maybe.
So that kind of leads us into the injury. That's one of the injuries, and I think right off the bat, the toughest
one. Wait, whoa. Got one more bad.
One more more bad.
Danny Aiken, his snapping on field goals, PATs, had one really bad one, had another one that I thought was a bad snap that involved the ball kind of being pressed and then got it back up to make the play, but involved a missed field goal of 36 yards, broke the streak. I believe that's his only miss of the year,
Yep.
Not even his fault. Danny Aiken has been on thin ice dating back to last year, and it's cracking, baby.
Yeah, and I would add in, before we move on to the injured, a couple of guys in the secondary. I thought Patrick Chung really struggled with Scott Chandler, who has consistently given the Patriots trouble in the past.
Not this much trouble.
But not this much trouble.
Career-high trouble.
He was dominant today. The only thing that could stop Scott Chandler today was Scott Chandler, who dropped a couple.
He did have a nice pass defense.
And
He's like a Alfonso tennis match over here. He just keeps looking back and forth.
Alfonso Dennard also, I thought, had a tough day with Robert Woods.
Yes.
Can I give that Scott Chandler note that we got? I forgot who I got it from on Twitter, though. So
Screw it. I'm sure it was like the Bills or the Patriots.
First Buffalo tight end with 100 yards in a game since 1992, Pete Metzelaars.
Imagine that, 1992. Paul was young back then.
I was.
What a name, too, just, Pete Metzelaars.
I got to play this. You may have heard me laughing and clapping, Andy, as you looked at me. The first 5 seconds. Now, we'll play Bill a little later on in the show, but you got to hear this.
Stupid thing.
That was his wrestling match with the microphone.
Stupid thing.
Well, I guess you have a new little new audio cut to play.
Stupid Boston fans.
Stupid thing.
That's good right there. Now we do get to the injured.
And I guess,
not a laughing matter, Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, that's the one that definitely
looked bad.
Out of the injuries that would hurt the most, potentially.
Looked bad, was immediately listed as out by the Patriots.
Which
bad.
I don't recall that happening very often.
You know, was in agony on the ground. Vince Wilfork gave him a kiss. Bill Belichick checked on him. He was carted off. Every sign that points to things being a bad injury occurred with Gerard Mayo, to the point where Belichick even brought it up and said the win was bittersweet. I don't want to say he's lost for the season, but all signs seem to point that
lost for the season.
And he wasn't the only one. Dan Conley, as we mentioned, left with a head injury, did not return. Who was the other one?
Stephen Ridley.
Oh, Stephen Ridley
Stephen
left.
Ridley looked like he had a pretty bad ankle injury.
Pretty
lower
bad
leg
injury.
Ish.
Yes, lower leg.
He
for
looked
Stephen
like he
Ridley.
Was in some significant pain.
So a team that has, we've talked about it. It's weird. They've The injury report has grown in recent weeks, and they've had guys missing time to injury, but they had sort of skated through the bad injuries that we've been seeing. You know, Kansas City was hammered like the first three games. They're losing Derek Johnson and DeVito and all these starters. Well, now it kind of feels like, you know, the Patriots lost two captains in the course of a few minutes of football.
It feels a bit like last year when all of a sudden you lost Will Fork, you lost Mayo, and just started tumbling down.
Yep, not good. Not good. Depth is being challenged already. Certainly, leadership, you know, the bad part about when everybody talks about how hard it was dealing with Mayo going down last year and how much they learned from it and how glad they were to have him back is we know how important they think he is. So don't give us, you know, any, coach talk this week and say, you know, it's next man up. We know that you think it's a major blow when Gerard Mayo's not on the field, and it looks like Gerard Mayo's not going to be on the field.
And that was one of the first things I think Paul mentioned while watching the game is Mayo's out, Hightower's not playing, and now Jamie Collins has to do a little bit more on the field.
Yep, yeah, Jamie Collins, play calling.
And that may have contributed a little bit to Scott Chandler, although I thought Chandler was off to a pretty good start when Collins was involved in the coverage on him.
We clearly just can't cover tight ends.
Collins had to move inside, and get off of the coverage responsibilities that he probably had with Mayo out. I'm guessing it's hard to notice like every single formation. And then Buffalo ran the ball pretty effectively for the most part. And then I don't think they were even able to attempt one run in the fourth quarter because they were down two scores. But with Collins out of the mix there, it put, I think, more burden on elsewhere. And Andy's right. Deontay Skinner. Patrick Chung, Tavon Wilson was pressed into some sub-linebacker duties. Mm-hmm. Those guys are, I don't think, equipped to handle tight ends, and it was a problem. That's not going to go away, I don't think, because Mayo is probably going to be lost.
855-PATS-500 is the Ace Ticket hotline if you want to get involved here on the Xbox One post-game show. Also, the email address, webradio@patriots.com. The Patriots beat Buffalo this afternoon, 37-22, now 4-2 on the season. And let's head to the phone calls. Let's open up the phone lines. And I think we have Tim from Pensacola, who I believe we talked to.
Timmy.
We talked to in the pregame. So we'll bring him out on the postgame. What's up, Tim?
Hey, you know, I thought according to Brandon Spikes, they were going to go, what,
2-0 against the Patriots.
Yep.
Yes.
That prediction was a joke, but so is he. But this was a pretty good game, a pretty good win. You know, I'm pleasantly surprised. I think Tim's gives us the possibility of having that receiver that I've wanted. He doesn't have to be the starting receiver, the star receiver, but just that, you know, legitimate outside receiver we could use. But I'm actually really proud of our team. Usually when Tom Brady gets that kind of pressure, it doesn't go well, which is, I predicted the offensive line wouldn't do well in this game, and I thought it was going to be a close game, but you really have to admire the Patriots' resolve. But I just got one quick question, because I know you got a lot of calls probably to get to, but with the emergence of Tim playing like he played, LaFell, do you think those two are going to be the outside receivers, and what does this mean for Dobson and Amendola? And I'll go ahead and let you go.
All right, thanks, Tim.
LaFell, I would say yes.
Yeah, I mean, Tim's was a shot guy.
Yeah, and I think they'll continue to do that
right.
with him.
I think but at least they have a guy
yeah,
now.
That's exactly what I said when we put him in the good. I think it's an element of the offense. It's a cliche. They need someone to stretch the defense.
They need someone
to take the top off the defense. I'm in that camp. That's an element of the offense that has been lacking, and he does that.
That's all he does.
Take some shots with him every week. Every week. You know?
And you've already validated it. It's not like it's just some experiment where you make Brady throw deep once a week or twice a week. You've already validated it. Mm. You threw to a guy who was covered, and he caught the ball for a touchdown. So whatever Brady may think of him or his lack of rapport with him, they already have proof on the field that it can be a value.
Yeah.
How much can you take, though, from today? You talked about how Buffalo, the secondary, was the weak spot. So the Patriots took advantage. The running game wasn't great, but they took advantage of what was there.
Yeah, but you know what? I like what Andy said there on Tim's. He didn't just run by people and fool them.
He won the battle.
He was covered like a blanket and made a play like Moss would have. You know, you go up and Brady's going to have confidence throwing the ball to a guy who's going to make a play for him like that. And I think that it would have been great if he made a nice double move and got himself in the clear. That would have been great too. But to me, there might be even more value in this, in that it didn't take anybody by surprise. It wasn't because Buffalo was so bad in the secondary that touchdown came about. They had him double covered, and he went up and outfought Stephon Gilmore for the ball. And that was something. I don't know if that's, you know, we'll see if it was a fluke or not. But first game he's in there, they threw the ball to him twice, and he made a great play on one of them.
And we've already seen that Dobson is a limited role player at this point. He doesn't get a lot of reps, doesn't get a lot of balls. You know, he got one ball again today, but the year two jump or whatever you were holding out hope for, that the Alshon Jeffrey jump that Adam Jones was hoping for,
ain't happening. Now, Brandon LaFell, he's becoming a bigger and bigger part of the offense on a weekly basis.
Making his plays in more relevant times kind of each week, moving a little bit more up the relevancy depth chart, I would say.
I would say LaFell
has been in targets today.
LaFell has been impressive.
And, you know, showing the ability to make some plays after the catch that I don't know that we all necessarily gave him credit for. I still kind of am intrigued or wondering what they're doing with him when they do a lot of wide receiver screens with him. I'm not sure that's necessarily his strength or his role. But his role is growing, and his rapport with Tom Brady, I think, is safe to say, is growing on a weekly basis as he gets more and more reps. Quick update off the Twittersphere. Gronk said he had the wind knocked out of him on that play, and that the arm brace actually broke on the previous play and was sort of flapping, and that's why they replaced
it. All is well. Nothing to worry about.
I do. I thought initially that he landed on his ribs and kind of just got a blow to
his knee.
Yeah, he grabbed his knee. That was the weird part, right? That was the...
Well, he breathes through his knee. Leave him alone. He's got a blowhole. One of the advantages of the knee surgery is they left a hole there. It allows him to suck oxygen in.
855-PATS-500, the number
you guys
call
are always looking for negative. Brian said he had the wind knocked out of him. Take him at his word.
I knew it wasn't an arm injury.
Like, well, I did,
I knew the arm brace was clearly flapping, and I knew they were fixing the brace.
I do think it's interesting that apparently they had like a second one ready to go or whatever. That's... Do you assume everything is...
But, I mean, I think people were immediately fearing that he broke his arm again.
And I wasn't. Tom Curran was on that immediately.
The press box, he might, you know, you maybe didn't see it on the screen. You're looking down.
Well, why do you automatically jump to him? He broke his arm again. Oh, my God.
Right?
Well, we didn't, so.
We didn't.
We didn't.
But some people did, and they posed that idea on Twitter, and that's how things move on and get a life of their own. Tom Brady also, by the way,
I'm talking about the phone number.
Well, screw you! I'm trying to break things down here. Tom Brady already has a book, apparently, of Jets stuff in his locker for the flight home. As they
Thursday night
quick turnaround here. Do you know they don't play on the road again for 35 days? According to Twitter,
yeah, the next three games are at home.
That's pretty impressive.
And there's a bye in there too.
35 days.
Yeah, well, it's a long time, Andy.
For every week on the road, you get a week at home. You want to give the number out? Now you know you're supposed to allow me to give out an international number as well.
Oh, we didn't do that this year still.
Do your little. Yes, we do that this year still. We still go 2 hours too. Go.
855-PATS-500, or if you're internationally or wherever, you take one. Go for it.
I'm going to go with our friends in France in honor of the Liz Franck injury, which is slightly different than the Jones injury. 0800-912-384. That's 0800-912-384.
Thank you very much. Now let's go to Max in San Diego. What's up, Max?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
What's up? Big win.
Yeah, definitely big win, and I'll make it quick. I just want to serve my crow to all the, not you guys. I expect it from you guys, so it's all good. It's all good. Don't sweat it. But I'd like to serve it to the so-called expert out here in San Diego. And what I mean by that is the Charger fans that are kind of wannabe Super Bowl champion type fans. You know, we're fans when our team's doing good, but when they suck, we're going to burn our jersey. Yeah, yeah. Okay, those type of cats. And
I'm one of those.
I just want to ask all.
I want no part of my team.
Your car's been towed
when they're doing crappy.
Yeah, let me ask the fair weather Patriot fans out there, because we got a few too. You got to admit it.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Let me ask you guys on the phone. How do you like your crow? Because I'm serving it bloody and in your face.
Ew,
that's disgusting.
Well, thank you, Max. That was disgusting.
Wait. Hold on. I got one more thing. I only got one more thing, and it's real. I'm going to end it with this on a positive note. Say it with me now. And the home of the Pat.
Well done.
All right.
See you, Max. I'm still disturbed by the bloody crow.
Yeah, that got me.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't like blood.
Let's try to rebound.
It's not, no more talk about blood anymore.
Try to rebound and go to Ronnie in Nashville. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Sup? Big win.
Oh, it was a great win. Oh, I was so excited. I just want to clear the way two things about. I just love the fact how when we had just that identity crisis against the Kansas City game, how everybody was just so completely write us off. Oh, it was still. I still see it like yesterday. How Trent Dilfer was talking about. It's over. The dynasty is done.
Okay, so how do you feel now?
Like I always feel. And Belichick and Brady, I trust. Like I've always been.
That's what I think.
Always been like that. Never for a shadow of a doubt. Like I just said, it was just the thing is our offensive line. And the thing is, when I always see Brady play, what I love about Brady is just when he feels that he's in command. When he feels that he's in command, he feels that he trusts his players. You see how he picks the defense apart. When he don't trust his players, it's just you can see the reasons getting off right. He feels that he got to get the ball out because he feels that somebody's going to give it up. And what you guys are talking about, Shoulder, I always said this. When Shoulder got drafted in the first round, I said, you need to be our guy. You need to be the potential future guy to lead this team down the way. And he have not. He have not shown that yet. He have not shown the $7 million that he is scheduled to make more than Tom Brady. And I feel that's a disappointment.
Yeah, there's no question. And I'm starting to wonder, he was a guy that Dante Scarnecchia really liked, really sort of was his pick, kind of, and was certainly better when Scarnecchia was here. And you just wonder if there's some sort of break in the relationship or the coaching between what he got with Dante, because he's had hiccups in the past. He's never looked this bad consistently for a six-game stretch.
Exactly. And then you look at his upside, man. You look at his upside, like, my guy, like, come on now. You can't keep on constantly getting beaten. And like you said, it's not sometimes he is getting outplayed, getting outmatched, but you're doing rookie mistakes, man.
Yep.
You're doing simple just mess-ups.
That was a bad one today. You're absolutely right.
Well, you know, that's a bad one. False starts are equally as bad. I mean, Hall of Fame Pro Bowl caliber left tackles don't have multiple false starts bearing down on them week after week.
Especially false starts.
Yeah, it's terrible. And on one sense, you say, well, okay, he was better under Dante. But, well, you know what? If you're truly an $8 million left tackle and a first round pick, you should be able to play under different coaches and different schemes with different guys on the other side of the ball. It's real. I mean,
exactly.
You shouldn't have a system left tackle who you have to pay $8 million to. If he's a system left tackle, then get somebody else in the system.
Especially if you have a quarterback who was the first ballot Soar Hall of Famer, then everybody's going to stop what they're doing when he says that he can't play no more. You want to do the best you can because you know for a fact you're going to get progress. It's not like we got Schaub or Fitzpatrick back here. No, you have freaking Tom Brady still blocked for this man, and you see what happens. It's just the thing is, then we were talking about just changing up our lines. I believe and predict that I think week 10, once week 10 comes, I think whoever our line is, I believe that's going to be through the postseason. And I just feel it's just shaking it up, and I believe around week 10 we should know for a fact who's consistently going to be our starting line because I feel that we do not need to switch it up, especially when postseason comes.
I'd like to think that, but I would have thought by week 6 we would have known who our line was.
Yeah, this isn't getting much better. I mean,
exactly right.
This is unprecedented.
Now, I will say that, you know, and I don't want to put too much on Stork's plate, but, you know, he looked like he sort of solidified somewhat in the middle, and now he's out again. But I agree with Andy. This has been 6 weeks, and it hasn't been much better.
All right, Ronnie, thanks for the call.
That was a good call.
No problem, guys. Go Pat.
Good job, Ronnie.
One of the previous callers did have something that I liked because I did think Tom Brady was pressured and I did think Tom Brady was hit today. And this may have been his best under duress performance in a long time.
And that's when I, with the part that I included in the good with Tom Brady. Yeah, okay. He threw for 300 plus yards.
Yawn.
Yeah. Okay. It was, this was not, I stood back there and surgically picked the other team apart. He didn't.
Right.
He was under a lot of pressure.
That's a good point by the caller.
And slid around and trusted. He trusted his protection. He knew it was going to be like, he knew he was going to have some guys in his face. A couple times he knew it was coming. Mario Williams was going to kill him once. And he got rid of the ball just in time. I thought it was a vintage Brady performance. And maybe it's the sign of him saying, listen, I can deal with the pressure. I've done this before. He didn't have a chance to step up in the pocket today because there were too many bodies around him. And he still found ways to get the ball to Gronk, Edelman, and LaFell. And that was enough to win the game.
All right, let's go to the Patriots locker room out in Buffalo, and we're going to talk to Rob Ninkovich. How you doing, Rob? Nice win today, and 3 sacks for Rob Ninkovich today.
Rob.
Rob, do we have you?
Hello.
Rob, you got us?
Yeah, I'm good.
There we go.
The hat trick.
Did you just get another sack now?
Yeah. No, it was a good win. Good team win. Good team, too.
You know, we're obviously sort of an emotional game today for a lot of reasons, but one of which was Jerod Mayo going down to injury. What did that sort of feel like when you saw that on the field, and how do you feel like you guys responded to that?
Key person on this.
Yeah, we got a bad phone with Nink, just coincidentally, we just had a first tie in the NFL.
It's like kissing your sister.
Mike Nugent just missed like a 20-yard field goal.
Nugent! Okay, well, anyway, Rob Ninkovich did have 3 sacks today. And I want to tell that to the WEEI caller who called up last week. He said, Ninkovich sucks. Get him out of there. He never does anything. He hasn't had a important play. I mean, the guy has been one of the better timely playmakers for this team for the better part of 4 or 5 years now and had a little bit of a big day today.
So, unfortunately, lost Rob for the time being. Might be getting him back from the locker room in Buffalo, and we can talk about the 3-sack performance for him. And he was trying to answer the question about Jerod Mayo and how that affects a team on the field. Obviously, it's tough to see a leader go down like that.
Especially those guys like Chandler Jones, Ninkovich, Vince, Mayo.
Right.
They're tight. You know, they've been together now for a few years. Emotionally, I'm sure that's going to leave a mark. And I think Andy that's the perfect question to lead off with. I mean, just how they're dealing with that, and I'd be curious to hear how Rob responds to it.
And anytime Bill Belichick kind of deems a win bittersweet because of a specific player, you see but not only the severity of the injury maybe, but also the importance of the player and that blow.
All right.
I'm looking towards Kevin. Not sure if we want to go to a break or if we want to hang on for Rob Ninkovich.
Let's do an email or two.
We'll hang on.
Okay, do an email or two.
I like
that's
it.
A good idea. Did you think about yourself? Email or two.
Okay, yeah. We'll go with the emails, webradio@patriots.com. And amazingly, the first email I have queued up is an email about Rob Ninkovich.
Nice.
Coming from Murray in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Says he's thrilled to see that Rob Ninkovich, I know and love, back in full form today. Can't wait to see the Jet Killer take care of business, even if it's on a
Thursday night.
Oh, and he is a jet killer.
Yes, no question. That was a little bit, I think, of for all those people, because they've been starting to be whispers of Rob Ninkovich criticism throughout Patriot Nation. As I said, a guy called EEI was all pissy. I think we've seen a couple emails. That was a suck at Trebek performance by Rob Ninkovich.
Well, you know what else it was? Chris Brown, who joined us in the Patriots pregame social, sort of foreshadowed that. You know, the problems they've had in the offensive line, particularly on the right side with the rookie Henderson. Is it Ciantrell Henderson?
Yes.
And he, you know, Ninkovich, I thought, had his way with him a little bit today. So, yeah, that was something that they talked about before the game, and it came true.
How about Deontay Skinner coming free on one of those sort of delayed Gerard Mayo A-gap blitzes or right there, got around a guy, and I don't really know what Kyle Orton was looking at because he
was looking at Deontay Skinner running at him and said, no, all right, I'll just take the 10-yard sack and I'll just
may have defined deer in headlights because he saw it coming but was like frozen. What do I do? What do I do? Ow.
And with that mustache too, that look.
He ended up giving him the O face.
Ow. That the mustache is ridiculous.
That's the stuff that Fred wants.
Yes, and you brought it up.
I did. That's why I called myself out.
We should have known, though, that there was no chance in hell that the Bills were going to win with a quarterback with that mustache today.
Yeah, well, going into the game, you're looking at Buffalo. I thought they were two evenly matched teams. What's the difference in the game? To me, the difference in the game is the 13 points that Buffalo handed the Patriots with three turnovers. And you're not going to overcome that. Buffalo is not better than the Patriots that they can go -3, including horrific ones in the last 2 minutes of the half. They're not going to get away with that.
And
Buffalo,
they were tied with the Patriots coming in for the best turnover differential in the NFL. And you know that's.
I actually wrote that in the six pack too. I mean, just bad. I mean, Kyle Orton throwing one right to Collins.
Mm-hmm.
A throwaway play at the end of the half that. C.J. Spiller, I couldn't remember who the running back was. C.J. Spiller, you know, fumbles after a meaningless run. Just bad plays. Two out of the three were extremely preventable turnovers. You know, I'll give Chandler Jones credit with a great strip sack.
Tremendous.
That was a great play.
And then to recover it was even better.
He was the only guy there, wasn't he?
No, I know, but you don't see that happen too often where a guy can do that, get around, back around, because the ball didn't go back. You usually see that. If the ball goes back, you catch it.
To the left.
But when it goes forward, kind of back towards the line of scrimmage for him to get around there and fall
back
on it,
and to
it was
the
nice.
Left.
I don't know. I like nice plays, Paul. I know you're nice plays.
I called it a great play. He just said it was nice.
It was a nice play. I wouldn't say great.
855-PATS-500. We'll go back to the phone lines right now. Gary in Ohio. How you doing, Gary?
Ohio, Gary.
Doing
great.
Great win.
Big win.
Huge win.
In a lot of ways, a more impressive win than the Bengals win, if you ask me.
Massive win.
Even though it was a much closer game.
Gigantic.
I think it was, a lot of ways, it was a more impressive win.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Dumb to suck. Can't believe you picked against us.
Yeah, well, I was wrong.
Here's your chance. Hey, say, hey, Paul, suck it.
That's okay.
Hey,
you can do that.
How many touchdowns do we have, Paul?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that Andy was yelling at you.
No, I was
how many touchdowns do we have?
I don't know. Three?
You don't know.
Four.
How many did Brady have?
Three? Four?
What's 37
the point?
Points they scored.
Is this trivia?
No.
It was a tie.
What's my point? How many do we have?
Four. What is your question?
My question is, Brady's back, baby.
Have you been listening to the show?
I don't want to be the stickler, but that's not a question. That's a statement.
Brady's back!
If you've been listening to the show, first of all, Brady never went anywhere.
Scott
Zolak is the only one who thinks that Tom Brady went anywhere.
Well,
okay?
It may be Mike Giardi.
And that was last year. So
no, he had that this year, too.
That was this year, too?
Yeah.
This cut.
Zoe has a way of sort of drumming up paper.
Wait a minute.
Brady's back!
I thought that Buffalo was going to win the game today, so absolutely, you can serve me my plate of humble pie, and I will gladly consume it.
Bloody
I was
crap.
Wrong.
Don't you think we made a statement? Don't you?
I think today's win was more impressive than last week's. Yes, statement win today.
You're right.
On the road against a team that was all hopped up and ready to go. You didn't have this emotional back against the wall thing. You turned it up 2 weeks in a row, and you found a way to get it done. A very impressive win, more impressive win than last week.
How about that fumble recovered by Jones?
How about it?
Are we on the air? Can they hear us?
We're on the air.
Well,
Gary, what's your drink of choice today?
We are all in on this win today. Andy, Scott, and I, we're all in on this win today. The Patriots were had an excellent performance on the road in a tough environment and came out with a huge win.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, Gary, thanks for the call.
Listen,
Gary's been hanging out with the Wings guy.
I have no problem with when things happen that are contrary to what you say is going to happen. The best way to sort of deal with that, Andy, is how?
Yell at him like you just did.
I was wrong.
Just yell back at him.
I thought
that's
an upset.
What I do.
I thought an upset was coming today. There was no upset today. The better team won, as most of you all expected. I was wrong. Not going to put you guys in my camp. I was wrong. How's that?
Right. I was right.
I picked the Patriots.
You guys were right.
We were right. Yeah.
Everybody but Ben Volen and I. And some imaginary ESPN people.
But I mean, Buffalo was, it was 7-0. It was
Buffalo was 14. In it. I mean, it was a one score game late. They were in the game the whole day.
It was 30-22 with 5
whole
minutes
day.
Left. And
whole
minutes
day. Whole day.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I'm going to give the Patriots all kinds of credit for winning the game, but this was no easy win.
Oh,
no,
if I'm Doug Marone, I am spinning this as we didn't even play well. We were in
like
the
crap.
Game. We can beat this team. We are just as good as there. That's what I'm spinning it if I'm Doug Marone.
Yeah. Now, if you're the Patriots, you say we made them play like crap. And that would be accurate as well. So this was a good football game today. It was not exactly an artistic masterpiece. It was a lot of mistakes, a lot of penalties, both teams. Andy talked about the false starts. A lot of false start penalties on the Patriots today. I think every lineman had a penalty. And the receivers had multiple false starts. So not an artistic gem by any means, but a very effective win for the Patriots.
And isn't this what fans wanted? There's been a group of fans in New England for a few years that has wanted to have defense, has wanted to win ugly, has wanted to test your mettle throughout the course of the season. You know, I think the dumbass Mike Felger is the one who's sort of been leading that charge, that you got away from your soul and you won too pretty for a while and you scored a lot of points and won blowouts.
That's what they did today.
Well, what?
I mean, the blowout part aside.
Yeah, no,
I mean, it was pretty with a lot of points.
Yeah,
that's what you won with.
Pretty ugly. I think it was
no,
an
I'm
ugly
just talking about you.
Ways.
You couldn't run the ball at all, and you threw it very effectively for how many touchdowns, Andy?
I don't know.
Four, I guess. I'm going to take Scott's word for it.
Yeah, it was four.
Four plus four nine touchdowns. Points on field goals. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
He threw for four touchdowns. Tom Brady did.
Only a bad snap cost a Fred Kirsch 40 burger.
Yeah, could have had a 40 burger.
All right, so I think we're going to be able to go back out to Buffalo right now.
Hopefully we've got a better sell.
We don't have Rob Ninkovich this time. We have
he's going to be all over us in the locker room this week.
We have Brandon LaFell out in Buffalo joining us. Hey, Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Going from one star of the game to another. How did it feel to sort of get some big plays and really get hit stride in this offense for part of the win today?
It's not pretty good, man. You know, to go out here and start clicking and get things rolling and get a victory on a road that was much needed, felt pretty good.
Brandon, I know that you've been asked this a lot, and we've probably asked you it a lot as well, but you just look like you're getting more and more comfortable with Tom Brady in this offense. Do you feel just very comfortable in this offense at this point?
I feel more comfortable than the start of the season, man, and I think as a whole, we all feel more comfortable going out there just playing fast and all we need to do. And that's what's been getting us in this situation these last two games.
Brandon, you guys had such a big emotional win last weekend here in Foxborough and went on the road today in an emotional environment for the Bills with first place on the line. How much of a challenge was it, or how much of a sort of an idea throughout the week was it to stay up, get some momentum, not have a letdown, and really match the energy in Buffalo?
And through the whole week, just be a pro. That's the system. Going out here and winning in Buffalo at home, have a letdown loss next week, man. Going on the road, getting a much-needed win in our division. We was 0-1 in the division. Come out here and be 1-1. So get a win and come back on a short week and start preparing.
Brandon, it seemed like on the field today it was pretty chippy out there. There was a lot of pushing and shoving after plays. Looked like a lot of yapping. Is that what it was on the field? It looked like it was pretty contentious out there.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of yapping, man, especially from Spikes and Hughes, man. It was a lot of yapping after every play. But at the end of the game, all that yapping, don't win games. So we just went out there and kept it quiet and just let our pads go talking.
Obviously, the win was a little bit bittersweet, I think. You guys had some injuries, and obviously Gerard Mayo's a captain of this football team, and he leaves the game, can't return. What's sort of the emotion of something like that when you see, you know, a teammate carted off the field and a guy of that respect level in this locker room, and how do you think you guys responded to that?
Yeah, it was really emotional because, you know, Gerard, he's one of the leaders on the team, not just on defense, just the leader of this team. And then Lewis Reed late in the game also, man, you just knew you've got to go out there and make plays for those guys and get this win for these guys.
Well, you guys now get a chance to come back home. Well, you're going to stay there for a little while. I guess it's about a month or so, a little bit more than a month. Three home games in a row. You guys looking forward to getting back here in Foxborough, I would imagine?
Oh, most definitely, man. You love playing at home, man. No travel, playing at home in front of your home fans. And that place is starting to get loud now.
The good news is you have a couple victories to enjoy here, first place in the division. Bad news is, I don't know if they've told you this, but you have a game again on Thursday night, so I'm guessing you'll spend some time in the ice tub this week?
Oh, man, I'm going to spend some time in the ice tub when we get back on this plane ride tonight.
All right, Brandon, well, thanks so much for calling in, and I guess get ready for Thursday. Not a lot of time before then.
Congrats.
All right. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks,
yeah,
Brandon. That's Brandon LaFell. Who
was the second guy that he had mentioned late in the game? Was it Ridley he was talking about? He had mentioned Mayo, and then he said, yeah, and then late in the game.
I don't know. I was having some trouble understanding.
Well,
him,
the cell phone was going in
it's
and
a
out.
Cell phone.
It was another cell phone issue.
Can you hear me now? No.
So,
can you hear me now?
So
yes.
That was tough.
That was Chris Brown's problem. Apparently, there's no cell phone reception in Buffalo. I was calling him, and it wasn't going through.
Oh, because Chris Brown was on,
was fine. He went to the office up in the PR office in the press box and called from a landline.
Well, I also wonder, you know, we have upgrades all the time with cell towers in the stadium and for extra game day and all that. You know, it's an old stadium. Yes, they did some work to it, but they might not be totally filled up with cell towers in the stadium.
He emailed me and we're like, are we doing this? And I was like, I've been calling you for the last like 10 minutes.
But yeah, Brandon LaFell, good to see him. You know, I know some of us were doubters of the signing. Some of us were doubters early in the process.
I didn't love the signing, and I didn't love the early results. But the last two games, he's been pretty. I mean, the Kansas City one, I wasn't as impressed with because I felt it was a little garbage time-esque.
But maybe that was a little bit of a, you know, crawl and then walk and run.
This game today, there was plays in big times that he made.
Big receiver on the outside, maybe kind of becoming a key factor. And as he said, you know, maybe now Brady kind of getting more comfortable with him, and all of a sudden you get Gronk back. You still have Edelman. There was a phase, in the middle of the game where he was the key guy. You got a couple throws and end around. And now you have Gronk back. You have Edelman. You add a LaFell. You tweak in a right for an occasional. Okay, you're starting to put together some weapons that Brady's actually comfortable throwing to.
Brandon LaFell, 6 targets, 4 catches, 2 touchdowns.
Which is a far cry from 6 targets, 0 catches, 2 penalties, which I think may have been
opening day
line. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Patriots fans, make sure you gear up for the season and shop the Patriots for the widest selection of jerseys. I think they missed a word in this read here.
D-minus at best for this
gear
read.
Up for the season. The problem.
Gear up for the season and shop the Patriots. I think they mean shop the Patriots shop for the widest selection of jerseys, hats, tees, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium and Pro Shop Collection at Patriot Place, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or you can shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Actually, I'm not even mad.
Who put the question mark in? You know he reads exactly what it says on the copy.
So we're going to take a break.
Come on,
we're going to take
a
break here on the Xbox One post-game show, but make sure you line up the phone calls, 855-PATS-500, the emails at webradio@patriots.com. When we come back, we'll take more phone calls, read more emails, and we'll hear from the coach, Bill Belichick. That's all coming up next.
Well, if you were a man, I would punch you. I'd punch you right in the mouth.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you. Yeah.
Join Mark, Andy, and Paul by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or get in touch with the show via email at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Yeah. And your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Hey, Xbox One's not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $399 at a Microsoft store near you. Scott Sudikoff filling in for Mark Bertrand here today inside the Subway Fresh broadcast studios at Gillette Stadium, along with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo of Patriots Football Weekly. This is the Xbox One post-game show. And we are going to go right back to the calls.
No, we're not. I'm going to say
something. No,
we're
not.
Just going to check in off Twitter. Photo by Trags. Now, the wording with the photo is a little inaccurate and misleading. But there's a photo of Stephen Ridley in a knee brace and on crutches leaving Ralph Wilson Stadium. The right knee. So kind of concerning there. Trags said wearing an ACL brace, which I don't even know what that is, and using
a knee
cane,
brace.
They're called crutches. So, but
that was so Paul Perillo-like. That was just tinged with like hate. And
no, it's not hate. I like Trags a lot.
No, but the underlying shot, you just couldn't just say what the premise of the whole thing was. No, you know, now he calls it an ACL brace. I don't even know what that is. And, you know,
sorry,
Craig,
I didn't mean to be mean. But yeah, crutches and a brace on the right knee for Stephen Ridley. So certainly that's not good. Are the exact injury to Mayo coming out? Because everybody is being very definitive.
That he's done?
Haven't seen anything about him. At least in that definitive sense.
I haven't seen it either. And I'll tell you, you know, when watching the play, a lot of times you can see a play happened, you're like, oh, wow, that's bad. Like, oh, that twisted the wrong way or that. This
wasn't
one looks kind of innocuous, you know?
But yeah, I mean, they're saying knee, and I guess, you know, Revis called his injury tragic and referenced that he's been through an ACL and he wouldn't wish a knee injury on anyone. I don't know if you can connect those dots.
Yeah, my guess is that's what it is, but it's just funny. You know, like a lot of times you see the side kind of, you know, like Gronk got hit on the side of the knee last year, and you could see it, I mean, for
right,
all the world.
Right, right. Oh, yeah.
This was just sort of going forward, and he kind of buckled under him a little bit maybe, but it was bad. I mean, you could just tell by the way. That's, you can always tell. Football players know the difference between
most football players,
you know, an injury and just a run-of-the-mill injury.
Being hurt and an injured?
No, I'm talking about, you know, a guy who, you know, might break a wrist or something and, you know, is callous as it may seem, it's like business as usual. But when a guy has a serious knee injury or something that you know
is
going to...
The only flaw with that theory is Ridley did the same thing on the field in Buffalo 2 years in a row. One year he wasn't seriously hurt. The next year it looks like he's seriously hurt. Remember when he just dropped the ball last year in the backfield and I thought he blew out his ACL and he was fine?
That is correct. I was going more with the Mayo injury, the way, like, you know, Vince was kissing him going out. Like, the reaction of the
teammates. You often don't see 370-pound nose tackles kissing guys because they pulled a hammy.
Yeah.
Now, one would say you don't often see 370-pound nose tackles kissing guys.
Vince is a rather affectionate man, though.
He is. The Mayo thing, you know, forget it. I don't need to. PFW in progress, we'll save it for.
Saving it?
It's a little Andy defensive Gronkowski thing. How come he's not injury prone? Maybe we can't count on him.
855-PATS-500.
Mayo has had a lot of injuries in his career. He missed...
Everybody wanted to get rid of Gronk, right?
Was it his first year or his second year that he missed, like... must have been his second year.
I think it was his second year.
He missed several games with a knee. And then last year, he missed several games with a pec.
More than several.
Okay. More than several games with a pec.
More than half the season.
Andy, very argumentative
today. No, I just...
Today.
They want
Paul
to rush. This
Paul
off
just saying
season,
he was wrong. Argumentative.
Where do you cut off several? How many is more than several?
Several's not double digits.
Okay.
And I think he missed double digits. That's he missed 10 or 11
I believe
games.
That would be accurate.
That's fair.
So.
And listen, you asked him for an answer.
He gave you an answer. He gives back with tone, though.
The tone is I'm getting defensive of my guy Gronk, who, you know, people sort of wanted to run out of town this offseason. You can't count on him. Trade him now. He's always hurt. It's one thing. You
and
can't
for
rely
that split
on
second
him.
Earlier today, you're like, oh, crap.
Speaking of guys who were dead earlier in the game, Tony Romo is back in this game. Yeah.
Well,
he went to WebMD.
He
comes
back. They pushed a couple organs around inside, and he's good.
And the Super Bowl champion Chargers are in a rock fight with the Raiders, by the way.
Guys, do you want a free lunch or what?
Yeah!
All right, let's talk to Jeff in Vegas.
Jeffy.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are
you? You're feeling a little better this week, huh? You got your mojo back. Your team's rolling.
Yeah, to all the haters out there, we're back. We're back. And as long as Rob Gronkowski continues to be Rob Gronkowski...
No. He's Gronk now.
Oh. My apologies.
When he continues to be Rob Gronkowski is when we struggle. He's Gronk, baby. He's smashing. He's dashing. He's going to be running the streets tonight with hot women. Gronk is back.
Yeah, and I guess we dodged a bullet there. I thought that might have been his arm there for a second.
No. I knew it was never his arm.
Yeah, that was terrifying.
You guys all jumped to conclusions. The man is a warrior.
Yeah, and what's with these things?
Soldier. I'm a soldier.
Soldier! Just like Kellen Winslow's son. Whatever that guy's... I can't remember.
Kellen Winslow.
Yeah, I don't want to compare Gronk to him.
Kellen Winslow's son. Kellen Winslow.
His career petered out with bad knees.
Hey, Jeff, out of curiosity, are you one of the haters?
Of Gronk?
No, of the Patriots. Just sort of for all the haters out there. I mean, I believe like 2 weeks ago you bet the mortgage and had your kids working at McDonald's.
No, listen. You know what Jeff is? A true New Englander who's reactionary, emotional, cynical,
yes,
all those things.
But just so you know, this would be like me next week saying, I told all you hate, I picked Buffalo today.
And you picked the Bengals the other night.
So next week I can't then say, oh, all you haters out there thought they were going to lose to the Jets.
And you're picking the Jets Thursday night.
No, I'm not.
What's unique about me that I would make me endearing, but it doesn't because it's misunderstood. I always want New England to win outright, even if it means losing thousands of my life savings. I'm really just hedging against myself emotionally, which is really unusual. Because most people in Vegas, they're just rooting for the team that makes the money and they go on. I'm a true diehard New England fan. And it was nice to see something that we hadn't seen for a while, chunk plays. Getting big plays, that's a good sign. And Timms, baby, do the little Randy Moss separation move because we got Brian Timms.
Even though he didn't have any separation on the play.
That makes it more impressive, though, right?
It was a great catch. It was a great bleeping catch. And now you can say, not only did the guy show the knack for the deep ball working with Jimmy Garoppolo, he showed a knack for the deep ball working with Tom Brady in a real NFL game against players who earn real NFL paychecks.
So that means, Brian, he's solidified a spot on this team for the next 10 years, though.
Well, I wouldn't say 10 years, but I would say 5 games.
And though the middle of the defense is soft as jello,
several.
Maybe it doesn't matter. As long as Gronk is healthy, I mean, just put the next guy up as far as Ridley and Mayo, as much as I hate to say it. Guys, let's do lunch, at least one, maybe more, provided that Fred Kirst gives me more than 15 or 20 seconds.
Oh, you'll get plenty of time. Don't you worry. We'll give you at least 45.
Watch it in, guys. Congratulations. Go, New England. We're back, baby.
We're back, baby.
On to the Jets, on to the crumbling New York Jets Thursday night. Why does this game scare me a little bit based on our... on to the Jets, we're going on the...
No!
It's the Jets, don't worry.
It's the Jets, it's Geno Smith.
Lock it in.
All right, see you, Jeff. Now, I'm not sure I agree with... All right, stop talking, Jeff. I'm not sure I agree with Jeff's analysis that we're all back, sort of like everything's great, but I agree with the we're all back where we started earlier. Brady, Revis, Gronk. I'm feeling pretty good about the superstar triumvirate that's going to lead this team to the promised land.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm offensively, this team, I think, has the capabilities that we thought they were going to have at the start of the season.
Yes.
We're back to that.
Well, the one problem is you did get potentially a blow to your backfield as you try to be at all balanced wherever it's going to come from. Now, I know you have Bolden and you have Vereen and you have James White who hasn't done anything yet, but Ridley was your guy. You know, he had 100 yards. He's the only guy
that you feel comfortable with on a consistent basis between the tackles. Yeah. I absolutely agree with that.
Sorry, they showed Cowboys cheerleaders.
I saw that too.
Jeff Howe with an interesting tweet.
Seahawks?
Seahawks cheerleaders.
Seahawks, whatever. Seattle, whatever. I don't know.
I was like, are they the only... Dallas's cheerleaders are so special they're allowed to...
Whoever it was, I liked their breast feathers.
He saw a cheerleader on the screen and was like, yes.
He really is unbelievable.
I'm not going to speculate on what it means. This is Jeff Howe.
Breast feathers?
But certainly interesting, Ridley had a brace and Mayo had a sleeve for their respective knees. I don't know what anything means there. I'm just reporting information.
I actually think that's a perfect tweet because he let off with you didn't. That wasn't your words, right?
I just read 140.
No, I don't know what it means. Was Jeff's words, right?
I'm not going to speculate on what it means.
Yeah.
Comma.
Well,
but certainly
I think that's perfect because I have no idea what that means either.
Right. And nor does he. Nor does anyone.
And he's saying it. This isn't saying that Mayo's injury is less serious.
Mayo may have blown his ACL and his MCL.
And they know it
is simply for swelling to keep the swelling down.
And they know there's nothing that can be done. There's no more damage he's going to do. And yeah, and maybe it's like a sprained MCL or something for Ridley.
And the more it is not
stabilized.
Yeah, stabilized.
We need a doctor to call in right now who might know the difference.
No, we don't. That would be the Globe. I've never seen either injury, but from afar, what I can tell you is I once treated an athlete who this happened to them.
Scott, we like to make fun of the other members of the media on this show. And that's
no,
why,
I can't tell.
That's one of the major pet peeves that we have is the analysis of injuries from people who are not familiar with said injury.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I understand that a broken arm can require something. But I don't know what Rob Gronkowski's broken arm is going to require.
Tom Curran chimes in with two very good tweets. The first being, now obviously Tom Curran has a long relationship with Mayo from doing Quick Slants. They did this, the interview 3 years in a row something. Mayo left stadium on crutches with compression sleeve on right leg covering calf and knee. Asked how he is, shook his head and said, not good. So I would guess it's safe to say that he is done for the year. Another interesting Tom Curran tweet. Also, told by two sources that Brady's ankle injury was, quote, no joke, and it took significant work and treatment to get it right.
Again, Andy, you prefaced a couple of tweets perfectly because those are both very telling, and I am growing some concern about that second tweet. Because if it took significant treatment to get it right,
they're coming fast and furious.
That's a major concern moving forward.
Bouncing back for Thursday, especially.
Well, Thursday, absolutely. But again, my theory, Scott, that you don't know about, but NFL players, injuries don't get better as the season goes on. So if he has an ankle injury that was, quote, no joke.
In week six.
It ain't going to feel a whole lot better 3 weeks from now.
Coming fast and furious
to play here, NFL football.
On the injury updates, according to Albert Breer, quote, Patriots running back Stephen Ridley will have an MRI tomorrow. It is a knee injury. Fear is that he tore his ACL.
Oh, God.
Not only...
I hate injuries.
Does he tear his ACL, which would obviously end his season. Awful for him personally heading into a contract year when that will obviously hinder the value of a guy, you know, at a position where there's no value anyway. You have a trouble getting a contract free agency anyway.
Yeah.
He goes into it coming off an
ACL.
He's
staring at like a 2-year, $5 million contract somewhere. Yeah.
Does this mean the law firm comes back?
Not idiotic from the idiot.
We've been saying it all year, but, you know, maybe, you know, he was already a guy that was sort of a plotter to begin with. Maybe he's just so slow now he can't get through the hole.
Yeah, but you might need somebody, a veteran. I don't know that you can just go and say, we're fine with Bolden. We're fine with James White. James White, who couldn't run anywhere in the preseason. I mean, all the plays James White has made when I've seen him have been in the past. He hasn't run 2 yards.
You know what it's time for?
Devlin!
The Paul Perillo offense.
Oh.
Just spread it out and throw it all over the place.
All right, this may be the most...
They're going to have to. I think Kevin's right. I think they're going to... I don't know if it's going to...
you.
I don't know if it's going to be law firm, but...
A dumb squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
I don't think they have a guy... You know...
Oh, is it blind?
Who do they like? The kid from the practice squad. Who
dumb
knows?
And blind.
Jonas!
Jonas Gray.
Big Guns Gray.
Who knows? They have to pick up somebody, do they not?
I will say.
That can run the ball between the tackles?
You mocked me.
I always mock you.
You skipped last Friday's Patriots.com roster
report. I was
serious
about it.
And said that's the lowest rated podcast in the history of podcasts. This Friday's could be the most interesting. We're going to have plenty to talk about in terms of roster moves after a game. So there'll be another game. I haven't counted that in.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Should we do it on Thursday?
2 weeks. It'll be in 2 weeks.
My point is there's going to be a lot of activity this week in terms of roster maneuverings, injury reports,
who can
play. I might
be in the Cayman Islands by the time you hit that Friday podcast.
Caymans? How are you getting there?
Just joking. We have a game Thursday. At 5 o'clock on Friday, I'm not going to be around.
Are you down on this?
Down on what?
The injuries.
Yes.
I mean, I don't care. Everybody hates injuries.
Not
Thanks,
Fred.
You're against cancer too, right?
Not Fred Kirsch. Kirsch likes injuries as long as they're not to the Patriots.
Are you... down long term because of the injuries. Mayo is gone. Ridley is gone. Conley could be gone. Whatever it is, are you how adversely is it affecting what you think of this team?
It will. It's not none. It's
none.
It's not adversely how I'm thinking of the team. Not a lot.
So if you thought they were whatever, you still think they're a whatever.
They're still a contending team in the AFC.
Okay.
It's not going to help.
Thanks.
But I don't think.
Try to get some. All
right. Do I have to get mean? I mean, like, do you make me? You asked me a question. Thing. I gave you a straightforward answer and said not a lot.
We lost an all-pro middle linebacker.
All right. So you are going to ask
loose
me
change.
To get mean.
Loose change.
Kraft and Mayo go together.
Right. You now have Kraft.
Like,
you got no Mayo.
I don't feel like the running back is that much of a difference maker. As you know, I don't think it's nothing to do with Stephen Ridley. It's more to do with the position. I think they'll find somebody who is able to run for 2.8 a carry, and that won't be a problem.
He makes it sound. Wow.
Well, that's why I said, are you going to make me be mean?
Well, the truth is never
mean. Sounds like you're going to make me be mean.
No, I want the truth.
I don't think it's going to affect the team long term all that much. Mayo is a loss. You touched on, maybe not on the air, but while we were watching the game, the loss of Mayo to me is more emotional. I think they love the guy. I think he's very important. I think he is extremely prepared. I don't think the player is irreplaceable. The person may be, if that's kind of an Andyism. The player is not irreplaceable, but the person, he is. I mean, he's a captain by example. They will miss him. It's not an insignificant blow, but I believe they will work past it. I also will caution, assuming that Hightower's injury is not serious. I know he's missed two games with it, so you say, well, idiot, he already missed two games. It's serious. I mean, he's going to be able to play, you know, in ten games. You know, he's not going to have to miss the balance of the season with this knee injury that evidently was a game-time decision today. You minus Mayo and Hightower, now you're starting to really, you know, be pretty thin in the middle of that defense. But I feel like they can overcome Mayo. And I don't feel like the running back is that big of a deal because of the position. I would feel, you know, I mean, obvious, there's a lot more guys on the team that I think would be much bigger losses than a middle linebacker and a running back. No disrespect to the individuals, but I'm talking about the positions.
Obviously. We talked about the three that this team's going to ride, Brady, Gronk, and Revis. You know, it wasn't one of those three. That's obvious. But I don't know that it's irrelevant either.
And I didn't call it irrelevant. You asked me how much it affects my long-term thinking of what the team can do, and I said not a lot. It doesn't. It's not irrelevant.
See, the way I look at it,
I don't
though,
think it
I could see last year all over again, where you roll, and then you don't go as far as you might have had you had those other guys.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, but I feel like that's what this team, right now, that's what I feel like the team's ceiling is the AFC Championship game.
Okay.
And I think that that's still the case with or without Mayo. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, like, you might look at that and say, Paul is being really negative. No, I think that this team has established a level of performance, and they will probably come close to reaching that with or without Mayo.
Mark Struppa puts an interesting spin on the Ridley injury, says, does Ridley's possible ACL injury increase his chances of being a Patriot next season? Hashtag collecting ACLs. Because we did sign a lot of ACLs this year and drafted one, and you know, maybe now he'll be back.
Before we hear from the coach, Bill Belichick, let's stay on the phones.
Okay.
Go back to the phones. We were off the phones for a little while. We'll go back now.
Glad you clarified
that. Go back. 855-PATS-500. You want to give another number out?
Oh, let's see if anybody's listening in Sweden. 0200-910-178. 0200-910-178. Want me to give it again since you didn't have your headphones on and look like a deer in headlights?
Yeah, give it again for a second.
You look like Kyle Orton with Deontay Skinner bearing down on him. So, Sweden, one more time, get your meatballs ready. 0200-910-178. Okay, you're still... No. 0200-910-178.
How do you read that? How do you read the 00?
No, I'm not allowed to anymore.
Okay.
It's all
00.
That's good.
So, all right, we'll go to Justin now. Justin in Virginia, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm going to give my good, my bad, and say something else.
Okay.
My good is just us not turtling on the road in a division game. It seems like all three games last year we kind of turtled on the road. Our receiving cast was amazing compared to how they have been. Brady seems like he was spreading the ball better. And they had a good defensive line, which I thought was Brady's weakness. But he seemed more relaxed and more, dare I say, brave against the defensive line than he has. Revis played good as usual. I think Sammy only had two or three catches. The pass rush was good, especially Rob Ninkovich. Collins was good. My bad are Kyle Smarrington, Logan Ryan in coverage on the outside, pretty much no coverage. Kraft Solder in the O-line. These injuries are a little sobering. And let me say one more thing.
Okay.
Like, from a fan's perspective, like, I know you guys were talking about this earlier, but here's an example of Fred and Paul saying the same thing, but it sounds a little negative when Paul says it.
I have a problem with that.
Paul would say Ryan Sims has made plays in training camp, but he's undrafted and every coach doesn't want him. And Fred would say he's undrafted, but he's made these plays in training camp and preseason. You just never know. And Paul sounds a little bit more like he believes the guy wouldn't succeed, Well, Fred just sounds a little more like he doesn't know. But you're saying the same thing.
That's because Fred doesn't know.
But you're saying the same thing, but the tone is different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. But in that particular example, I would say the tone is accurate on that one. I would say that. I mean, Fred is probably more confident that what he's seeing on the practice field has a chance of happening on a game field than I am in that particular case.
Right. It's why he thought Zach Sudfeld was the next great tight end.
Exactly. And Andy and I were not enamored with Zach Sudfeld because he was catching a ton of passes in training camp.
And it was deemed that we were right.
And listen, it might be deemed that Fred is right on Brian Timms, but I'm not ready to say that after one catch.
I'm not saying that either, but part of what I'm saying is, and I'm going to let you go after I say this,
thank God.
What you say last is a big part of what whether people view you as negative or not. I know it doesn't technically matter.
No, you're right. You're 1,000% right. We've said it over the years. Another example is Bill Belichick. He could say the same thing he says and end it with a smile, and occasionally he does, and the reception of it is far different than if he gives you the same line with a snort, a grunt, and a stare.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though, but Fred would end off with he's making plays.
Yep.
Paul would end off with he's undrafted.
Right, but exactly.
You guys always do great.
That's a good call. It's a good call, and I definitely recognize.
But.
And I recognize my tonality issue.
But the butt
You're
is
right.
The key. You two flip the phrases around the butt. You say, but no one wants him. He's making plays, but no one has wanted him. He's a journeyman. Fred said, he's a journeyman, but he's making plays.
Yeah.
And
right.
That ends
he's absolutely right.
The upswing of the sentence or the downswing of the sentence.
He's absolutely right.
For a guy who we suspected of having some narcotic issues, Justin's really brought it around lately. Justin has become a really good caller.
I mean, for the most part, I like the interaction. Cause
I like Justin.
And I'm talking about in general with all our callers.
That's funny cause you ripped him that one week.
Who?
I don't know. There was one week where you were very down on people.
Well, I don't agree with every single caller that
calls. Paul's very high on the post-game callers.
Well, they're better. Yeah. They're better. As a rule, they're better. Ooh. Than the PFW in Progress callers, especially after a good win.
Real callers call the Xbox One post-game show.
Ding. There's a little noise I need to make.
But you don't agree with, I mean, you don't agree with everybody.
Sometimes I feel like he just feels like he needs to validate.
Do you agree? I mean, do you ever
here?
Find yourself agreeing with everybody over there?
Me?
Yeah.
Do I ever agree with anybody?
Well, you hate everybody.
I don't hate everybody.
You do.
Like right now, I love like Jay Cutler, a guy I usually hate, but when you throw a left-handed pass that hits the official in the nuts, I love you, you're funny.
Hey, on that note, let's go to the coach. Let's hear from Bill Belichick.
Well, again, I thought it was a good win by our team today here. I thought the players did a good job. Buffalo competed hard, had a lot of energy. There was a lot of excitement in the stadium. And our guys did a good job. Those two drives at the end of the game offensively were big. Had some big plays on defense, turnovers. So, again, it was a good team win. A lot of people contributed. Obviously, a little bit bittersweet with Gerard going down in the first half. So, we'll hope he's okay. But it's always tough up here. Bills are a good football team. I thought our guys played them hard. I thought they competed well. And, ultimately we were able to make enough plays. Got some big plays down the field in the passing game, which obviously helped us. And it was good to see that.
Yeah. Bill, with Brian Stewart already out, then Dane Connolly leaving with halftime, I believe. How important was it? How big a contribution was it for the guys who came in? The
yeah, huge. Yeah. Yeah, we played all the line and they all were on there. So that was huge. Just, we had a lot of guys step up. We had some people go down, the backs when Steven went out, linebackers when Todd went down, so those guys did a good job.
Just on that same idea, just a thought on how Jimmy Collins played after Noah Hightower already and then after Gerard goes down and he kind of has to step into that role.
Yeah, well, Jamie's, he's been in that position before in practice and so forth, but I mean, he stepped up, gave us a lot of leadership, handled the signal calls, the call in, the checks, and so forth. So, Jamie did a good job. So thank God we had him today.
I know this game just ended, but how difficult has the preparation become when you've lost some key players?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to have to turn around quick. Today's Wednesday, so tonight's Wednesday night, so that's where we are in terms of a Sunday game. So we obviously have a lot of catching up to do between now and Thursday night. It's always hard to play the Jets. They're a game plan team. They always have a lot of tough packages and a lot of good players there. But we'll just have to turn around quickly and get back to Foxborough and start grinding it out on them.
How big was that last drive for Josh? You guys are backed up on your six. You had good field position early in the game, but you see most teams in this league run it three times, punt it away, and hold your breath with your defense. But you guys came out firing, went empty.
Yeah, we were able to to make some plays. A couple of third down. We had a couple of long yardage conversions today. A third and long, a second and forever. I think we ended up scoring on the foul on the under route. So. We were in some long yardage situations, fortunate to get out of them. It's not where you want to be. It's not statistically a situation that is good, but fortunately we had good execution by our offensive team, especially in the passing game, and that bailed us out. So it's good to go out there and score 37 points. I had a lot of people contributed, the receiver position, obviously Rob, Tim, line did a good job. So they all hung in there and fought hard. Not easy against that front. That's a good defensive front. These guys are good pass rushers. They're physical. They're quick. They're hard to block. Did a good job against a good group.
What would the impact of a loss of Gerard be? You talked about over the preseason as possibly being the most important player on the team.
Yeah, well, we'll just, we'll go forward this week and, see what we think the best thing to do is.
No. You can see right here as he lands in. And it's funny how well a player knows his body.
Your thoughts on LeBron? You touched on it a little while ago, but he's going to get open downfield and make some key conversions for the bomb.
Yeah, sure did. Yeah, I mean, he's a tough guy to cover. And, had a lot of big plays for us. I mean, we have big plays from a lot of receivers. Timms, LaFell, Edelman, Gronkowski. So, we had a lot of guys step up. He was one of them. Did a good job.
And your thoughts on Timms' catch and how terrific
that was? Yeah, Tom put it out there and Timms went and got it. So, nice job by Tom reading the coverage and, kind of the low safety there, put it up there, give a Timms a chance for the ball. He made the play. And we've seen him do that, several times this year in preseason. So it's good to see it today.
Did they have a lot of time to practice together, suspension and getting back together?
They worked together all training camp. Couldn't work that month that he was out, the first four games. But then, he wasn't active last week, but he practiced with us, and he was active this week. So, they've had quite a bit of time together, minus that month that they weren't together.
So what's your team show you in these last 2 weeks since the Kansas City game?
I thought last week we played very competitively on a short week against a good football team, and today we came on the road and played 60 minutes here. I mean, you got to give the Bills a lot of credit. They won on the road against Detroit. They won on the road against the Bears in overtime. And it's a tough football team to play 60 minutes that comes at you every snap, every down. So. We knew that's the way it was going to be. That's the way it was. And our guys stepped up there, and they competed well today. So, give the players credit. They worked hard. They played hard. That's a tough football team here in the place that had a lot of energy this afternoon.
Bill, 2 years ago, it was almost the same situation. Just made it halftime, third quarter. Tom caught fire. How do you account for the fact that he could just be almost perfect in second half? Came up with it.
Well, again, I think you got to give credit to the whole offense, and I thought we did a decent job of blocking the front, giving them time. The receivers made some good plays. Tom made some good reads, made some good throws, but it took everybody working together out there today. It was no one man band. It took a lot of work from a lot of guys, but offensively, we put ourselves in some long yardage and bad situations, some negative runs, penalties, but. We were able to overcome some of those, and most of them, as a matter of fact. But that's not really the way you want to do it. But we got away with it today. But that's going to catch up with us. We can't keep doing that.
That's Bill Belichick after the 37-22 victory for the Patriots today over Buffalo now 4-2 on the season and get ready for the short week where he said today is Wednesday.
Son of a bitch. I can pick my kids
today
up.
Today is Wednesday.
Why? My wife's going to be pissed.
Today is Wednesday for the Thursday game, so not a lot of time to get ready.
We got a game tomorrow. Oh, no, wait. He means.
It's confusing.
It's
Wednesday and the Sunday timeline.
Good quote from Rob Gronkowski, another reason to love him, and as people pointed out, to realize he's back. Quote, sometimes I like getting lit up. It's fun.
Is that how he said it, too?
Yeah.
Like in that tone?
Were you mocking my tone?
No, because if he said it that
way. I wasn't there.
If he said it that way, it'd be even better.
I don't know. I'm reading it off Twitter.
All right. Well, we got to take a break here on the Xbox One post-game show. But when we come back, we'll take some more phone calls, read some more emails, and talk more about the Patriots' 37-22 win over Buffalo this afternoon.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
The Xbox One Patriots post-game show is your source for immediate locker room reaction following every Patriots game. Hear exclusive live player interviews right from the New England locker room and all of the latest news and notes from the game. Join Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Xbox One Patriots post-game show.
Welcome back to the Xbox One post-game show. Patriots beat the Bills today 37-22, now 4-2 on the season, and get ready the short week. They'll play the Jets right here at Gillette Stadium on Thursday night. The Jets that lost again today 31-17 to Denver. I guess they kept it fairly close. We didn't get to watch the game, obviously, so we don't really know how it went down, but they kept it fairly close. So this Thursday,
and it's Patriots Jets on a short week. It's
we remember that last
battle.
Year.
It's that a Rex Ryan ugly. Battle. It's probably going to be ugly. It's probably going to be feisty, and it probably will be physically competitive. I don't know if it'll be competitive on the scoreboard or how that gets out of hand, but you know, it's the border war.
Border war.
Gangrene coming to town.
855-PATS-500 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go back to it and talk to Alex in Florida. Hello, Alex. Alex, you there?
Hi. Oh, I'm here.
What's up, girl?
Hey, how are you?
Great. Big win.
Huge.
Big win. Big win. Happy to see the offense finding a way to win instead of finding a way not to win, I guess.
Very well said. Trent Dilfer would be proud.
Yes. So I guess like I also took a look at the book that was a Brady blocker, the Jets book. So I'm already kind of moving on to the Jets a little bit.
Yep.
Because I think this is a great win, and I'm happy to see. So I guess we can already say I'm a little curious. We haven't really said anything about Connolly's status. I'm a little curious if anybody knows anything about that. And I guess my real question is, if the offensive line, I think we can agree, is every bit as offensive as it has been since the beginning of the season.
Yes.
But we see, like, Brady is finally starting to sort of come into his own. Well, if he's not getting the protection that he got, then he hasn't been getting. But today he was able to find a way to make plays. So I'm kind of curious why, if really nothing has changed on the surface, why all of a sudden did we get a win today when you would think that we would collapse like we have been and not find a way to win?
This is going to sound harsh, but I think Brady has sort of stopped sulking, stopped anticipating pressure, sort of said, it is what it is. I've been hit before. I'll be hit again. I'm just going to play.
Oh, that's good.
And I think he has to, because there's really no other solution, Tom. I mean, this is the line you have. You can sulk that Mankins is gone. You can sulk that whatever is gone, but this is what the group you have to work with, and they'll get better, just like you'll get better and everybody else will get better, but it's just time to play ball. This is the team you're going to win and lose with. Go with it.
And then my other question is, what are we going to do with this Browner? Because, you know, we don't have Mayo. We probably don't have Ridley, so we'll see how that works out with White, Bolden, and Vereen, and maybe Gray. But what are we going to do with Browner? Because I feel like perhaps if we were in the game today, and I know he's not getting the defense, but perhaps his physical presence may have helped with Chandler a little bit, and perhaps this is what we just need, like a paid thug on the field who hopefully won't get too many personal foul penalties against him, because I understand he's not getting the defense, but what are we going to do with him? I mean, our defense just took yet another hit, as in our offense today, but what is sort of the plan for him?
Well, I wouldn't just assume he's not getting the defense. Now, if you're going to take Bill Belichick at his word, he said that has not been an issue since he got here. Has not been an issue. So I don't know either way. I can't tell you factually that he is or isn't up to speed on the defense, isn't up to speed physically, conditioning-wise, after missing time. I can't tell you anything other than the facts we have, which is Bill Belichick denied that he's having trouble picking up the defense.
Yeah, and I actually thought, and Andy disagrees with me on this, but I actually thought it reeked a little bit of an excuse-making element from the Browner camp. I thought that maybe like an agent or someone in Browner's camp has told that to, I think in this case, Jeff Howe from the Herald. And the reason for that, you might look and say, well, why would you want that out there? Well, I think it would make the guy look better, saying, well, you know, he's having a hard time picking up a system that people in the past have had a hard time picking up. Things are considered to be complicated in New England. It's not because my guy can't play. That's not why he's not playing. He has every bit of the ability that he's always had, but he's struggling a little bit with some of the things that Belichick is asking him to do. Richard Sherman had a quote a while back saying, I hope they just let him play and they don't ask him to do a whole lot of different things, because we were sort of basic here in Seattle and we just covered and that's how we were effective and that's what Brandon Browner does. And if they just let him play with Revis, they'll have a great tandem up there. So I kind of thought it reeked a little bit as an excuse as to why Browner isn't playing. Now, Bill Belichick completely shot it down that he's having a hard time. I agree with Belichick in this case. And I think, Andy, you make a good point by saying if we're going to look at these things that Bill says definitively and take some of them at face value, like when he puts out a statement saying that the Aaron Dobson thing was nonsense, then you have to take all of those kinds of things at face value. I don't think this is an issue with Brandon Browner picking up the system. I think the ankle might be a problem. I don't know how big of a problem it is. That might be why he didn't play this week, but I don't think that he's struggling to learn the system. I don't think he's that good. I didn't think he was that good this summer. I don't think that he is dying to get into the lineup because you just can't keep him out. I don't think that's the case.
And as far as Conley goes, I'd be surprised if he plays Thursday. I mean, you have a head injury that you couldn't return from, and 4 days later you're going to be cleared. Smells like something the old NFL might do, but not the new NFL.
And a guy who has had some
concussion
history.
So you will be seeing, I guess, the same offensive line that you saw later in the game. I don't know. They might change their decision.
And you have to look at Stork the same way.
Sure.
With a four-day turnaround, he suffered his concussion, I believe, at practice, right?
It would certainly seem it happened Thursday at practice.
So now you're talking a week.
Right.
He's probably going to miss Thursday's game, too, unless he was, like, really ready
close
to play today,
right,
and they just erred on the side of caution. But, you know, the head stuff is impossible to predict. And Andy, you're right. You know, who knows how they're going to treat it?
I just think there's a good chance modern day, you know, they got to treat those with a little more kid gloves.
855-PATS-500.
Huh? Amendola.
This isn't Brady Hoke. But at least Amendola came back in the same game.
Yeah.
So at some point you deemed him incapable of coming back.
My guess is they deemed him not to have a concussion.
Right. But
at all.
You have, Conley has a problem, and yet you're going to say, but that problem's long gone.
Who's that?
Touchdown for the Raiders. The Super Bowl champion Chargers now trailing.
He just went like 50 yards untouched.
When not Kenbrell Tompkins.
47. Not Kenbrell Tompkins.
Bobby Butler? What's Butler's first name?
Bill.
Billy.
Brett?
Mike?
No, it begins with a B.
Darius.
Oh, it did say B. Butler?
Yeah, B. Butler.
Oh.
Bob.
I don't know. Some interesting 4 o'clock games going on. Dallas, would have gotten hit with the haymaker when it looked like Tony Romo was going to be, eating soup out of a straw tonight. Then they get the punt blocked on the next play. They're down 10-0 in Seattle. They now have a 17-10 lead. Romo's back in the game, and Dallas looks like they're playing on their terms. They look like they're pushing Seattle around a little bit.
All right, let's talk to Marcus, who's in New York. He's been waiting over an hour. So, Marcus, are you still there, still awake?
Is this Cannon? Marcus Cannon was in New York today.
Did I set him up not to be ready for the phone call?
Marcus!
Marcus, wake up!
Marcus 1. Marcus 2.
All right, you know, you only got about
Are you sure you clicked on him? I don't hear anything going on in the background.
You only have about another half hour to get involved, right?
Marcus! You there?
Mikus!
Hello, Marcus!
Put him on hold or something.
I'll put him on hold.
Don't just hang up
on
him.
Yeah,
do you know how to do that?
I clicked the hold button afterwards.
Well, it's funny because we started the show. You had no idea which buttons to click.
It was my first time back in like a year. Give me a break, man.
Well, but now you're giving me tone like, oh, the hold button, obviously. The drop button, obviously.
Yeah,
well, what's the other button?
At this point, I know.
If you knew the two obvious buttons,
you knew
the third.
Answer, hold, air, and drop.
Yeah. Jesus.
Jerk.
How do you think you put him on the air?
You rendered him speechless over there. Look at him.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who, you?
You're gonna go.
Let's go to Pat in Agawam.
That's my boy.
Pat, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
See that
hey,
work?
Pat. How's your wife?
Oh, she's doing great.
Oh,
his wife likes me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, she loves you, Andy.
Tell her I love her too. In a you know that not that kind of way.
Oh, that's fine. Paul, Andy doesn't hate everybody.
No, I love everybody.
The only people he likes are the people that tell him that he's cool.
I love everybody who's not sensitive and realizes it's just football and we're just trying to have a little fun.
You know what? Right. Every once in a while you say something, I just agree with so much that I have to say, yeah, that's a good point. I do too. It's like the guy that wanted to tow my car today.
Paul.
The guy who wanted to tow my car today, I liked him so much because I was joking around with him. I was busting his, you know, a little bit. And he knew that. And
we
he
can't
just,
say
like,
that? We can't say that word? Well, can't say busting his
balls?
I like to clean it up a little bit.
So what do you got today, Pat? Big win, huh?
Oh, that was a great win. The only crappy part was I was at a wedding, so I had to follow it on my Patriots app today.
Oh, those Sunday weddings are tough, right?
You were that guy.
Say that you know Brady has the weapons around him to make a run this year.
No, I am not willing to say that after 1 to 2 nice performances. I am willing to say that Gronk is back, and he's going to have a healthy. He's going to have a Gronk until he's injured again or for whatever reason. I think Gronk is indeed back. I think that allows Edelman to fall into sort of a complementary role. The biggest intrigue to me comes as to whether you can get consistent or relatively consistent production out of LaFell and Wright. If you add one or both of those guys, now I'll say he's got weapons.
If you remember last year, of course, we all remember last year how big of a difference the offense was when Gronk was in there as opposed to, the first few weeks when he wasn't, then after he got injured.
Right. Yeah, I just think you're seeing the same exact thing this year. As Gronk is hitting his stride the last couple weeks, literally and figuratively, I think the offense is starting to put up big numbers, big points, Brady's hitting big yard totals, and I think it's not quite as dramatic as Gronk was on the field and Gronk wasn't on the field. Now it's he was out there, but he wasn't himself. The more he's himself, the more the offense is becoming that offense. I saw today, are the Patriots like, they're knocking on the door of being like one of the highest scoring teams in the league, thanks to a couple big games the last couple weeks?
Could be. I mean, with all that's happened to this team, that's 3 times they were 30 or more in 6 games.
Right. Some teams would take that.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, Pat.
All right, thanks for the call, Pat.
Talk to you later.
All right, tell your wife I said hello.
I will.
Scott, does that make you uncomfortable? You made a face. What? His wife likes me. I just wanted to say hello.
I'm not going to get involved.
Isn't that what you'd say to somebody? Tell her I said hello.
I'm not going to get involved.
Okay, read a call.
I'm going to read a call.
Do something.
Got an email from Peter in Connecticut.
Did he get to see the game is the first question.
Is this the...
Well, it was all questions about Connecticut and who got to watch in Connecticut. Hmm. Does he seem like he saw the game?
I think there's no mention about whether he saw or didn't see the game. But he says, I have an unwarranted, maybe stupid question. Here it is. With the Patriots' depth at linebacker being very slim and Brandon Browner not playing, maybe because of better play from Alphonso Dennard, do you think that Browner could... A lot of maybes in this email. Could maybe play some linebacker given his physical nature and the lack of coverage skills.
Based on the fact that he's a cornerback who supposedly can't even play the other side of the field, I'm going to say he's not one of those hyper-versatile guys that can, oh, yeah, we'll just play him at safety, we'll just play him at linebacker. Right? I mean, wouldn't that make sense? You know, he can't even play the other side of the field at the position he plays.
He needs to play one certain spot, so it'd be tough.
It feels like it.
Then now, move him up and.
And he, you know, he was sort of, he sort of bristled at the idea that he'd be a safety. I've never done it. I've never taken reps there. I'm not a safety. So to say now he's a linebacker because they have lack of depth there, I don't know. I just don't see it.
And I understand that, you know, a lot of times corners that lose a step, you know, can become safeties. But I always look at those guys as the more athletic cornerbacks, and he just seems to be. If you're asking him to play safety, you're asking him to play in more space. And I don't know if that's in his skill set.
Now, right, but at linebacker, that would be
you
sort
could be,
of.
Yeah, well, I was just going to start to say that. To that hybrid position that Bill seems to be, you remember the whole Tank Williams experiment,
yep.
Andy? That hybrid position, maybe they look at a guy like that with, you know, being physical. I think they had designs maybe on Adrian Wilson last year in a little bit of a role like that. I just don't know if he's athletic enough.
Yeah, I
don't think he's quick enough to do it.
I'm just doubtful.
But, you know, listen, they might have to try something because it doesn't seem like they're hot to get him at cornerback unless the ankle injury is really legit, and that's the only reason why Browner hasn't been activated yet.
But even if he's activated, then we clear the hurdle of he's active. How do we clear the hurdle of, you know, what he's going to do and how that melds in with what Revis has done? 2 straight weeks we've watched Darrell Revis run around with either an all-pro receiver
right.
or a top 5 playmaking rookie.
Young rookie.
Successfully.
Learning his way. Yeah.
So I'm not bending over backwards to make, you know, concessions so that we can get Browner in the lineup. He needs to get in where he can fit in around Darrell Revis.
Well, the only thing about that though, Andy, is I don't think, especially today, more so than last week, the other guys weren't as effective today. I thought Robert Woods made some plays. I thought Scott Chandler made a lot of plays. And I thought some guy that I wasn't overly familiar with, and Chris Hogan, made some plays today.
What you gonna do?
The coverage, Chris, other than Revis, was not good today.
Yeah, but the big one was the tight end. And then you should be used to that. I'm sorry. It is what it is.
But we were talking about Browner. The specific thing is Browner.
He doesn't cover
today.
Tight ends. He didn't tell you that part either. Browner Rule 7C is don't cover tight ends.
Based on what you saw today from Dennard, should his job be untouchable?
No.
That's what we're
talking
about with
Browner.
But at least
he'll do whatever the hell I tell him to do opposite Revis.
Well, who says that Browner won't do whatever the hell you tell him to do?
Everybody tells me that.
You can't just lock him up man-to-man on the other guy?
I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know.
Why not?
What if the other guy goes on the other side of the field? Oh, I don't go over there. Can't you see him like he's over here and he's running?
At least I get what you're saying.
The guy motions and he runs and he just stops midfield. You know, see, there's a line in the sand here I don't cross. Right? Everybody tells
me
the man can. Ben Volen was telling me all year they can't do it. That's not going to do it. I mean, everybody tells you that.
No, I understand what you're talking about now, the whole right side thing.
Right. If he's willing to match up too, I'd be more than happy to say, you know what, we're going to be a flat man defense. We're going to see if we can get this done. We have Revis. He's a great one. Browner's a good two, and we're just going to get this done. I got McCourty, a cover guy at safety there. We feel like we can do this. I have coverage linebackers with Jamie Collins. I feel like I have the weapons to cover man-to-man. But that hinges on Browner being what I want him to be and not what everybody tells me he really is, right?
Yeah,
I think Bedard wrote this whole piece is that, you know, they used him very carefully in a scheme that covered all his, and he couldn't do this and he that. Blah. Well, I'm not bending over backwards for Browner.
Okay.
I feel like he's mocking me a little bit.
He's really upset about it.
Why are we whispering?
I don't know. He just said he's not going to bend over backwards for Browner.
I still got a little bit of a thing.
Yeah, you got a lot of a thing.
I have an email from Chris in SoCal, and at this point, week six is in the books. Danny Amendola doing not much of anything. What is a realistic future for this guy?
To be a complementary, as-needed weapon for this team moving forward, and then I think the course you're on is for a divorce after this season.
I would agree with that. Who gets the 10 catches first, Amendola, Dobson, Timms? Tim Wright have 10 catches yet?
No.
I mean, it's
right. Who gets the 10 catches first?
Right? I would take right in that breakdown.
It's amazing. So Brady threw the ball 37 times today. So it's 37 targets, 10 receivers, and Amendola is not one of them.
I don't recall seeing Amendola today.
Even on the field.
Oh, he was on the field.
I know he played. I don't recall seeing him.
I do.
Did they didn't target him.
No.
According to this, zero targets.
No, but he was on the field a couple times.
Ten guys caught passes and were targets.
I don't think he played more than 10 plays. Yeah. I would say it's single digits.
So he's to the point where he's not even playing.
Right. So, I mean, that's what you wanted. That's what you wanted.
Yeah,
you said, I'd use him when Edelman gets hurt.
Total
replication. I'll use him.
I do. I do.
But I'd still keep him. I still think he's a valuable commodity. I'm not cutting him yet. I'm not making him inactive, I don't think, yet, based on the personnel and different things.
What if Edelman gets hurt Thursday? Can he step right in and do exactly that?
I'm with Paul. I think he would step in and catch six passes probably. It probably won't be a 10 or a 12 catch game.
I figured you would agree with me because I've said that many times and you haven't butchered me about it yet.
No, I don't. My only thing is I don't understand in this world of we're the Patriots. We put players in the best positions to succeed. You know, we can do anything from two backs to eight receivers, blah, blah, blah. Why they haven't found a better way to use his skill set. They valued his skill set at a high cost, right, Paul? Why haven't they found a way to put that to use on a football
field? It's a good question, but I just wonder if maybe they overvalued his skill set.
Do you think
he's
not good?
Capable of doing? No. I think he could be good in just the slot role that Edelman is in.
He can get open and catch the ball, right?
Yeah.
Two things that Bill said.
He can doing the things that Edelman does.
Okay, but why can't you have him do?
I think they thought he could be outside. I think they thought he could be outside and doing some things that I don't think he could do.
Can we not have four receivers on the field at any time and say, okay, we're going to have two outside guys, two slot guys?
Okay, but where does Gronk go?
Anywhere. It doesn't matter.
I want Gronk in the middle of the field, and I want Edelman in the middle of the field instead of him.
See, I'm fine with Gronk being on the outside, and I'll throw it up to him on a fade if my slot guys aren't open.
Yeah,
I'm just asking, why can't we find a way to get Danny Amendola involved. We find a way to get Nate Ebner involved on defense. He's going to be our dime guy, and he's going to do
Gronk
this. That's
do
all
the,
he does.
Where does Gronk do the bulk of his work?
I think he kicks ass any place he is on the football
field. But
where
is he most effective, Andy? I don't know why you're being so argumentative.
In the middle of the field.
So why would you want to force find a way to get Amendola involved? Because you already have a dominant tight end who now appears to be back. Why would you want to?
Do you think Gronk is incapable of catching a fade down the sideline?
Incapable? No.
I
but where do you think
capable.
He's best?
I think he can do that.
I want him where he's best.
I'm trying
he's
to utilize
good.
All
he's
my players.
He's a difference maker. Amendola isn't.
But, Paul, this is a team that changes their personnel series to series, play to play.
But do you think there's a reason?
So there's no reason to get Amendola involved.
I don't think so.
Keep him part of the offense. Okay.
Because I think
I think if he's one of your best five options, you get him involved.
Okay.
You find a way to keep him healthy, wealthy, and wise.
I don't think he's one of your best options. I don't.
So who
That's
is?
All. We just disagree.
Give it to me. Go.
The way LaFell has played the last
three
games
now you're in love with LaFell.
I can be as stubborn as anybody, as we all know.
Okay,
bang my head in the wall and
tell
you.
We only have two, Edelman and Gronk.
But what I'm saying is
I need to get to five, fill in the three.
I can bang my head against the wall and continue to say that LaFell is not a good free agent signing, but the last 3 weeks, he has shown to be a good free agent signing.
Okay.
Who has done more, by the way, than Danny Amendola
has. So put him at three. Who's four and five?
Where do I want to get my four and five for Danny Amendola?
So you don't think he has any value? He can't help the offense.
Not as long as Edelman is out
there,
because
I think a passing game is at its best when it goes four or five deep. When it has four or five guys that can make plays, that are working with the quarterback in concert, they're comfortable together.
I feel like Brian Timms, Brandon LaFell, and Aaron Dobson are better options from the numbers out than Danny Amendola.
Okay?
So if you want to call them four and five, some of those guys, then I would rather have them. And if it takes to get Amendola into the top five, it takes me getting Gronkowski and putting him on the outside.
So this
or Edelman and putting him on the outside.
So this
I don't
team
want
never
Amendola
goes no backs.
There. Yeah, they do.
Because when you go no backs, I mean,
but
I
what
mean,
I'm saying,
Amendola
go,
should
no.
be the number one receiver or the number two receiver. I'm saying I think these guys are smart enough and have shown themselves versatile enough to find ways to use guys in certain roles and make use of skills they have on the roster. They valued Danny Amendola at a high level. They thought he was a talented, skilled player.
I understand
why
what you're
can't
saying.
They find a way to use him in empty sets in whatever, find mismatches.
Okay.
How about you listen to this?
What do we
How
do
about you just line
sets?
Him up in the backfield, motion him out, do ends around. He's a versatile
you,
guy.
I'll
use
give you
it.
Another one that I would put ahead of him in that pecking order in those five wide sets is Vereen. I think he's a better option than
I would
than
disagree
him,
with
than Amendola.
I would disagree with that. But
what have you
I'm
seen
just saying,
from Amendola that
what
puts
have
him
I seen
ahead
from Vereen
of those
this
guys?
Year? I think he's had a terrible year.
Vereen has at least had some productive games.
How many times have they thrown to Amendola when it didn't get wiped out by penalty? I mean, I don't think he's had a ton of options. All I'm saying is
so you
have
that all
a
on
guy like
offense.
Aaron Hernandez who you say, we're going to put him in the backfield, we'll move him around. Why can't Amendola suddenly line up in the backfield and then motion out?
But
or
don't you think
you
that
run
they
end
would do
arounds
that?
To him, so run a toss to him out of the backfield. Why are we not being creative with Amendola? Why do we just say, well, he doesn't work?
All right. First of all, I don't know why we're spending so much time on
I don't know either. I never know where these fights come from.
Who barely played.
It was an email. You know, you're just answering the
emails. Blame the emails. We go where they take us.
But why? I agree with everything you just said. This is an offense. This is a staff that has been very creative over the years in finding ways to utilize everyone. Why haven't they been able to find a way to utilize
So you
him?
Think he stinks?
I don't think he's that good. I don't think he could do half the things you just said.
Okay.
I don't want him on end of rounds.
I don't think
he's effective with the ball in his hands like Edelman is.
Oh, I think he can be.
Oh, okay. Maybe he can
I
be,
think he can
but
be.
He's never shown to be.
Well,
so
the
I don't
guy's
know.
Been a pretty good player. He's been
good
a pretty good
player.
Punt returner.
When
he's
been the
a
only
pretty
option.
Good, right.
And they had to throw the ball to him. He made some plays.
Right. So you obviously think the
I
F
think
up was
Edelman,
the contract and the signing.
Oh, no question.
That they he's
I'm
not
putting
skilled.
This on Amendola.
He's not skilled.
Not skilled is a stretch. I'm not saying he can't. He's not an NFL player.
But you are, because you don't have him in their top six weapons.
The way they have it structured right now,
I
would rather have LaFell.
I don't give a rat's ass the way it's structured.
I would rather have
How
LaFell,
would you structure
Gronkowski, Edelman, and Vereen. I'll put those four
okay,
over there.
Okay, so you have them as fifth or sixth option.
Fifth at
okay.
best.
Because yeah. I don't care what they're doing. We know what they're doing.
That's where I would have
I'm
them.
Saying, if, why aren't they putting
now,
him in a rotation?
Now, 3 weeks ago, Andy, we might have had the same talk, and I may have totally agreed with you. I would have put him ahead of LaFell. I would have said they continue to throw screens to LaFell, and I don't really understand that. Now, I still say that.
See, I'd much rather have a screen
to
Amendola behind LaFell.
I would rather have that screen to
Can we not do that? Put LaFell on the outside, Amendola in the slot, he bubbles back, boom, and he follows it.
There's something for you. Why not find that kind of a way?
Instead, we're just going
to
count on him coming in cold. We're
going
to ask him to be Edelman, right? When Edelman was behind Welker. We're not mixing in, but all of a sudden, the weight's on your world when Welker goes down.
That's exactly what they're asking of him. Okay.
So why doesn't he return punts?
And because the guy who's returning punts does it better than he does.
But the guy is more important that's returning punts. So again, the bottom line we get to is he was a terrible signing who isn't good enough.
Is that what you think?
I
forget the last part.
I can only.
You think it was a terrible signing?
No, no, no. But I don't care what I think.
No, I'm asking you.
No, no, no. But I just want to base it on what I see. And what I see is
that's what
it's a terrible signing. He's not good enough. That's all I can be led to believe based on everything we're talking
about. I'm going to stop short of saying he's not good enough, and I'm going to say he's not as good as they thought he was.
Well, he's not as good as the fourth-year running back disappointment. He may not be as good as the street free agent journeyman who just came off a suspension. I mean, where does he fit in the pecking order?
That one I'm not ready to say. I just think that's a different skill set, a different thing that might be more valuable in this offense. Brian Timms may turn out to be a terrific player and make me look really foolish for questioning him. I'm not ready to say that yet for him. I'm not ready to put him ahead of Amendola player for player. I think for this offense and what they want to do in their needs, I think there's some replication with Amendola.
Well, there is. No, no, no. Remove that, though. We know there's replication.
And Timms has a place if he can get deep.
And that's obvious, too.
If Timms can get deep once a game, there's a place for that.
So there's no place for Amendola. That's my perfect point. You're making my point.
And I don't think there is.
Why are you laughing?
My point is, what I'm disagreeing with you about is I'd rather have Gronkowski and Edelman working in between the hash marks than Amendola right now.
Right.
I think they're both better at what
my point is. Pick three other pass catchers, three other skill players, and you rarely pick Amendola to be one of those. You're telling me you're not creative enough to find a way to use him, or he's not good enough to be worthy of finding a way to be creative to use him.
But I think you're taking me super literally.
I'm taking them super literally.
Player for player. If I have Gronkowski and Edelman available, then I think that LaFell is a better option to be on the field with them, assuming that Gronk and Edelman are in between the hash marks doing their thing over the middle.
Sure.
If one of those two guys is not available, LaFell is now.
I don't care about that.
LaFell is now not a better option than Amendola.
But I don't care about that.
But what I'm saying is,
every play
I don't
you
think
go to
that
Amendola
is without talent. You keep saying that I don't think he's good enough.
See, no, I think they're saying he's not good enough. Because he very rarely takes the field with the five skill position players that they rotate in and out.
What
liberally.
I disagree with you about is I don't think you can have three guys that do the same thing.
Yeah,
I don't think he's good enough to be on the
field
outside.
See, I don't think Gronk and him, there's any
replication. I don't think he's better outside than LaFell. He's a better player. He's a better player than LaFell.
And that may not be.
But do you understand what
I'm
saying?
I don't think LaFell's better at screens than he is.
I think Amendola is a better player than
LaFell.
They're
finding a way, and they're even putting a square peg in a round hole with LaFell on screen passes, and yet they can't find a way to get Amendola on the field.
And that's the one part of this argument I would agree with you.
And Paul,
if you're going to throw screens,
they run guys on
LaFell,
the field every play. They have position group after position group after position group.
And for the most part, Amendola's been part of those.
Not
today he wasn't.
He's fading fast.
Today he wasn't.
Fading fast.
How long are we going here?
That's a good argument right there. Fred Watts analysis, that's goddamn analysis.
Listen, and that was 100% football. It was no cheap shots at anybody. I feel like if you're going to take somebody,
if Amendola lines up in the backfield next week, I'm going to do a victory lap around the press box
and say,
they were listening!
But I think Amendola is a better player than Brian Timms.
They're
a better
always
player
listening.
Than Brandon LaFell.
You keep that in mind.
But if you have those other guys that do, I think, more what Amendola does best, then I don't have a problem with him not being part of it and not being out there as the fourth or fifth guy because I don't think there's any use for
him. My problem is the jump from theoretical to productivity. Theoretically. Now, Timms was good tonight. He had two passes deep down the field. He caught one of them for a touchdown.
Yep.
Nobody's going to argue whether with the theory or the production on that one. But my point is Danny Amendola was once deemed a $30 million skill set, weapon. He's done it in the league. He did it for you last year. People think he sucked last year, and he didn't make a lot of plays, but he did catch 56 balls or whatever it was.
Right.
So I'm just struggling with that he's not good enough to be in the mix. Not good enough to you have a package where you can maybe get his confidence up so that when Edelman does go down, it's no big deal.
Andy,
he's just rolling.
For half of the year, one of those two guys, Gronkowski, was not part of the equation. Now he's.
What are we talking about?
You said Amendola last year was able to make 54 catches because he was doing this.
Right.
He was a disappointment in the minds of a lot of people, but he was still a part of the offense. Well, for half the year, more than half the year, one of those two guys that I think is better than him wasn't there. So he was out there with Edelman.
No, but my point is he's
that's
proven
why
he can produce
passes.
At an NFL. He's caught 54 passes everywhere he's been.
And that's why I say tomorrow, if Julian Edelman goes down with an injury.
Yeah, I don't like that
theory. I think Amendola will be out there catching passes.
So we can find ways to get the backup tackle involved. We got packages for the backup tackle at a position where you never rotate.
Andy.
But you rotate receivers in and out, and Amendola is just a forgotten character.
I don't understand what is so...
I don't get it.
I don't understand what's so hard to get. If one of those two guys got hurt, I believe Amendola would be inserted back into the mix in the offense, and he would catch the ball.
But the problem
is... But with those two guys there, I don't think he's a better option outside than the guys that are playing.
You see, that's where...
You do.
I don't. I just think if you're just beholden to, well, got inside receivers and got out. I thought this was a place where everybody played everything, where you could be an inside guy, where Gronk could line up wide and create a mismatch and run a fade, where we could run an end around, where we can do this. I thought that we weren't as sort of textbook straight and narrow as other offenses are. I thought there was more versatility to this offense, to this scheme, to this coaching staff.
I don't understand why you don't see the versatility. I mean, there's plenty of versatility. You have different kinds of receivers that can do different things.
And except the guy that you paid $30 million to, you have no interest in getting involved in the offense.
And if you're going to continue to get back to that, I didn't give him the contract.
I didn't say you did.
I didn't like the contract from the day it was signed.
Nobody did. Nobody did.
They obviously did.
Exactly.
I didn't.
So suddenly he went from a guy you really loved his skills to a guy whose skills aren't good enough to make your top six.
You keep saying the six. I would look at it as three, but I mean, your larger point is accurate.
He's right on the cusp.
Your larger point is accurate.
He's right on the cusp with Wright, with Dobson.
Are we at that time already?
Nice job. You ruined the show. We never even heard Brady. Where's Brady? One more hour.
I left.
I was going to say, you did take the final hour off.
That was entertaining. That was good.
Don't you think we should have our own show on a real station?
You have a TV show. Come on.
That's as football as football gets.
Yeah, I agree.
It's true.
It's just a difference of opinion.
I had to go back and listen to that again, though.
And he's right because he's with the coaching staff. I, God forbid.
But that doesn't make you right.
No, that's true.
There's a lot of things that...
Case in point, Jordan Devey.
Case in point, not locking up Revis man-to-man for a couple of weeks.
Well, I'm not sure that's accurate.
Okay. All right,
they didn't lock him up today either.
It's going to wrap things
up. I insist that's Brandon Browner's problem picking up the defense. He thought what Revis has been doing the last few weeks is man-to-man.
That's snarky. Fred, that was Paul, not
Scott the didn't get the
Xbox
last
One post-game show.
He's just trying to get the hell out of here.
Andy Hart and Paul Perillo, Kevin Collins behind the glass.
Make sure you give him a quick reminder. Don't just think, oh, next Sunday we'll talk to you.
Quick reminder, the game is Thursday, and it's not on Fox.
What
time is
the
game? It's going to be on CBS and the NFL Network.
So we will be at...
We'll probably do 6 to 8.
6 to 8
6
on
to
Thursday.
8, okay.
That's what I'm thinking we'll do.
Okay, 6 to 8.
Mark Bertrand will be back.
It's time to eat.
6 to 8 it is.
I'll be sent back down in the minor leagues.
You got a Tufts game this weekend?
No, I have Harvard. Harvard Crimson Madness on Friday. Harvard football on Saturday. Make sure you tune in for a little bit on Nesson. Check it out.
On Nesson.
That's a little plug.
Okay. All right. See ya.
All right. That's it. Later.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devil in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
This Thursday, the Pats are at home to take on Rex Ryan and the Jets on Thursday Night Football. Kickoff is set for 8:25 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.